The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. The last show of the week for us, if you don't count the pregame social. You know, the Patriots getting closer to a big game down in Atlanta. And one of the questions we're going to throw out, is it a bigger game for the Falcons or the Patriots? I heard some people say that this is a must. Is this a must game win for the Falcons? I think if you need to ask that question, it's not a must game win.
Must win game.
A must win game. Must game win. But who is this a bigger game for?
Falcons.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a home game. You're hosting. You're 1-2. You want it. You think you're a playoff team. You don't want to fall to 1-3 with a loss at home. It's not a huge game for the Patriots. And mentally it might be for us, like measuring stick and all that crap.
Right.
But you're 3-0. It's a non-conference game, non-division. No, you know, there's none of that in there. It's not that big of a game legitimately for the Patriots.
So given that, you have one side of, you know, opinion that says that the Falcons fold in big games.
Well, and is then that true in the regular season? Like, I know everybody thinks in the playoffs and like, but
right.
Do they fold
until
in
you
good
win
games?
If,
like,
if you get in the Super Bowl, if you get in the playoffs until you win the Super Bowl, then you fold in big games, right?
Like, I don't.
Unless you win the Super Bowl.
Like, wasn't it a big game when Peyton Manning and the Broncos came to town last year? And didn't they win that game?
Yeah.
So, like, what? I mean, I understand they have Mike Smith and Matt Ryan have the postseason, you know, we're going to win a lot of games regular season fold thing. But I don't think that really includes just because a good team's coming to town, they're going to fold.
Okay.
I don't really buy it.
Paul, you agree with that? Much bigger game for the Falcons and Patriots?
It's a must-game win, he said. Three times.
A must-game win.
Yeah, I think it's a must-win for the Falcons. It's not a must-win for the Patriots, so I guess, yeah.
Is it a must-win for the Falcons?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you want to go 1-3.
Yeah, but you're not losing to a team in your conference, in your division.
No, yeah, I mean, technically there's no such thing as a must-win unless you're eliminated from the playoffs,
right.
Whether it be regular season or in the playoffs. But I think you can call games must-wins that aren't
not
necessarily.
This day and age in this crap-ass. It's not like anyone's going to run away with 12 or 13 wins in that division.
Sure they are. Someone will.
No chance.
You don't think there's any chance that New Orleans could win 12 games?
Maybe 12, not 13.
Oh, okay.
But I actually don't even think 12. No, I really don't.
I think there's a chance.
Well, there's always a chance.
I think there's a better chance that one of those teams will win 12 games than not. Let's put it that way.
One of what teams, though?
Like, Atlanta or New Orleans. One of them will win 12 games.
No, but that's my point. First of all, there's only one team. It's New Orleans, because you're Atlanta, so that you're out of your own equation.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I don't think New Orleans will.
All right, well, we'll be here at 2 o'clock with all riveting type of discussions.
Everybody
like
sucks.
Web radio.
Yes. Disregard all the Patriots' accomplishments over the last 20 years. Everybody sucks,
no,
Fred.
No, no, if there was once a time when you had measuring sticks. You had the Patriots. You had the Colts. You don't have measuring sticks
Wait a
right
minute.
Now.
Isn't Denver a measuring stick now?
Maybe.
Isn't Seattle a measuring
Maybe.
Stick
No,
now?
They all suck.
Look, Seattle at home is a measuring stick. If you go into Seattle, that is a prime time.
Well, they haven't lost
big
yet
ass win
today, this year.
Don't worry. They're road flops are coming.
Okay.
Their road flops are coming. Denver, as I talked about the other day, you know, they're dominating the second half pretty much. I don't see anybody who comes out and goes, wow, we're the best. We're going to show you we're the best, and just rolls through people from start to finish.
All right. Well, I think Denver's becoming that.
Well, they might.
Yeah.
And maybe when they get, you know, Champ Bailey back, and maybe when they get Von Miller back, if they ever get Von Miller
think,
back.
I think that you're
Von Miller might kill somebody.
I think you're a little bit
suspension
too critical on the NFL these days, because over the past years, the Patriots have been that measuring stick. And I think that every era has had those measuring sticks.
I just think a lot of crappy teams have won the Super Bowl. Teams that I didn't enter the season thinking they were a dominant team. You know, I think there's been a lot of bad teams in the Super Bowl. Not bad, but less than historic. Less than, you know, there's just a long phase here of they go on a good run, they get hot, and they win, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants certainly fit that mold.
Yeah, the
you
Giants
know,
twice,
I didn't necessarily agree
once
with the rest of his rant, but that last part of the, I don't know how you can disagree with
right
that. I think there have been, you know, a fair amount of teams in the last 10 years or so that, yeah, you know,
it's
haven't been great teams.
Right.
That have
it's
won the
rare
Super Bowl
that a team just rolls through, like the Bears or the Steelers
but
or the
like
49ers
the
or the Cowboys.
Patriots,
right.
I think,
the 04 Patriots
were the
right
best
that
team in
that
football
was the team.
The 07
yeah
Patriots.
But I don't think the 01 Patriots were.
No.
I don't think the 03 Patriots were.
The 07 Patriots were. Until they weren't.
Right. They would have been. They would have been.
The 07 Patriots were.
They would have been.
I'm still. I don't care. I'm still. I'm disregarding what happened in the last 30 seconds. I got in another fight about this yesterday. I mean, you know, again, you can sit there and use the result as the bottom line. And
did you
and
use
just
my thing on him?
Just eliminate all analysis. The 07 Patriots were the best team in football. Sorry.
Did you use my thing? Is it
that
okay
make
if
me a homer?
Can't
that
win a shootout in January? Is that okay?
You can't win a shootout in
January? You're a tough, scrappy team with a soul, and if you can't win a shootout, is that okay, Felger? That's okay.
Yeah.
But if you can't win a dogfight, you can only – that's not okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I got them all. I got them to the places they didn't want to go. I did it. Fred was all mad, though, because he thought I was on four. And
I turned it on at four, and there was no mention of sunshine.com. Thought maybe Paul got into an accident on the way
you
there.
Know how late I was? I heard the intro in the song. I was in my car at that point.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com. 855-PATS-500. 508-298-0398.
John Cockrell is stirring up some garbage on Twitter.
What's the matter, John?
Oh, really?
Doing?
Well, because Algie Crumpler, who's now a radio guy in Atlanta, is going to be live tweeting the Sunday night. I guess NBC does that. They ask people to live whatever. And he said something about, you know, guess who I'll be rooting for or whatever, because he played for both teams, obviously, Atlanta and New England. And he said something that made you know he's rooting for Atlanta. And then he said, but I love you too, New England, or something. And I just retweeted that. And John Cockrell, like, tweets back at him, you know, guess who should have caught that pass in that playoff game a couple of years ago? Here's a hint. You.
It's well done.
And Algie actually replied, I think I've said that a number of times. You know, he's just a muckraker, just trying to stir it up on Twitter.
That's okay. That's all right. You know, always representing Patriots Nation.
You don't need
that's
the
fine
rel. You're a...
Two of my favorites, John in L.A. and Algie Crumpler. I liked Algie Crumpler.
All right.
Algie Crumpler.
Patriots practice today.
Those five fingers. Remember those shoes
the feet,
he used to wear?
Yeah.
No new news. Both Slater and Vollmer are still out.
News.
But Amendola and Gronk are still out there.
Yeah,
so
I think there's a little new news. I think the fact that Vollmer, we didn't know that during the show yesterday, that he was on the injury report and didn't practice at all. I think that's a little bit of news. And I also think some of the additions to the guys that were limited, guys like Mayo, We talked about Wilfork yesterday, even though he was a full participant.
But apparently he has an ankle injury.
He actually
injury.
Does have
oh,
a,
really?
A foot injury. And Kyle,
no,
Kyle Arrington, which is something I brought up earlier in the week, that he didn't play in the second half. He's on the injury report with a groin. So my guess is that that had something to do with Logan Ryan's playing time.
And Marquise Hall was finally
I would guess as well.
Remember, he missed practice, was not on the injury report. We watched him waddle through the locker room because he had this massive ice bag like taped to his legs.
Not injury related.
Not injury related, but the guy couldn't walk. He was waddling like a weeble.
Okay, well, so.
So, yeah, I mean, we talked about Vollmer yesterday, but there was some other stuff that popped up at 4 o'clock when the injury report came out that we didn't necessarily know of at the.
So, Mayo. What did he have?
I can look it
Is
up.
Is it a knee?
I mean,
it might have been an ankle. But.
He was a full. He was a limited participant.
He was limited. Vince was full.
Vince
foot.
Was full for the foot.
Okay,
but I don't know if that's what we want to point to for why he may or may not be
right. Well, he hasn't popped up until now.
Mayo's listed as an ankle.
Okay.
Well, I think there's a chance Bill was listening to us and was like, "Oh shoot, they're on the injury thing. We better put him on the injury."
Yeah, I'm sure that's what happened. And then Fred said definitively, "It wouldn't be anything lower body."
Right.
So we're going to put it down as a foot.
Exactly. Well, we don't see him limping. You know, maybe now he is, but we didn't certainly up until now. So I don't know. But that's, you know, if they're not at 100%, that is news.
Yeah. Well,
luckily,
that's
our
why,
run stuffers.
Just because we hadn't talked about it, the Vollmer stuff we got into, I mean, Slater obviously is out, but Vollmer we got into a little yesterday, but some of these others I thought were interesting. Mayo, you know, Wilfork, because we talked about Wilfork yesterday, and then Arrington, just because I had made that comment earlier in the week that he didn't play in the second half. I think that's probably why.
Yeah.
How come Slater can't play with a cast? When do you cross that line?
I wonder if it's that same sort of thing with
the
that
scaphoid.
That bone that only Patriots seem to break.
But like you see these.
Yes.
Is that Mike Glennon?
Yes.
No chance.
By Glennon.
He looks like a ball boy that they let talk.
Yeah, he really does.
I said no chance when I saw him play. Remember,
no,
remember
I know.
When he played?
No, but I'm just going by pure looks. No chance. I mean, he's a deer, and he's a young deer in headlights. He's a fawn.
He's a fawn.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
It was important, too. Oh, like you see these defensive linemen with like these massive clubs.
Right.
And Slater, I mean, why couldn't he run down and cover kicks with that? By the way, that would be a weapon. As fast as he runs, if he ran down the field,
I mean,
just with that thing full bore into
the
a
vice guys can't handle him anyway.
Right.
Imagine if he had that.
Right. Whack.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe just the nature of it. You can't have any movement at all.
Because who had it? Was it Brewski that had the scaphoid?
Brewski and did Vrabel do
I
it too?
Vrabel
the same year
too.
We had two guys, and I believe it not to be a, like a medical dictionary, but I believe it's a scaphoid, not scaphoid, but.
Not scaffold.
I had never ever heard of that bone in the wrist until that.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Mike Kelly broke it
5 years ago. Maybe is that a high school guy?
Yeah, second baseman.
All right. So.
All right. Scaphoid.
Is this news going to affect how you feel about this game? Do you think?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, depends what the.
Well,
news
if Vollmer were out, I suppose that might.
Oh, I think
worry
he's
going
to be out. I think there's a good chance. I think
you're not buying that it's
Marcus
not.
Cannon.
You're not buying that it's not a serious injury.
Let me put it this way. I think he's going to be out of the game at some point, either out to start or out at some point as it rolls on. I find it hard to believe he couldn't play last week. He's in a boot, and he's going to be back out there and show no wear or tear. So I think you're going to see Cannon. I don't know if that's a big deal or not. What end is Aussie Emanuel on, left or right?
I think they move him a little bit.
I'd move him in front of Cannon.
Well, he's not 100% either, right? Isn't he banged up, Obanura?
I mean, I'm sure he's not 100%, but I don't think he has any... I don't think he has anything known. I'll check the injury report for Atlanta.
I believe he's on it.
I mean, he's always on it. But
what's so funny?
The one that worries me the most is Arrington.
He is not on it.
I would not prefer. I would prefer not to see Logan Ryan on the field in three receiver sets covering Harry Douglas. Or that concerns me. I think you need Kyle Arrington as much as people may not love him. Whatever it is. Kyle Arrington, you need in this matchup against Jones and White and Douglas.
You need
and
your full strength
Gonzalez.
Of
your pass defense.
Backs.
The back end is the most important aspect of this game,
right.
Along with Jones and a little pass rush.
Yep.
Like if Mayo were out, not ideal, but
you can get away with it against the team like this because I don't think they're going to pound it in between the tackles
right.
against you. And you know, I'm not sure how much help he's going to be in chasing down.
So if Mayo's,
you know,
if Mayo was out,
he's
what
not going to be prime,
no.
by the way.
It's, no, I don't have any reason
limited,
to believe.
Do,
I don't have
do
any
you bump
reason
Hightower
to
inside and then Collins plays a lot?
In all likelihood.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
do?
Not necessarily. I mean, like,
Well, it's probably a nickel game. There's a good chance you're going to see a lot of nickel.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you'd see Collins and Hightower on the field together.
Yeah.
But my guess is they're both going to play. I mean, Wilfork is full and...
Oh, yeah. I'm stunned if Wilfork didn't play because he was full participant in practice. I wouldn't think you'd miss game time if you could practice.
Well, there'll be another participation report today, and then tomorrow we'll have the injury report.
Always exciting.
With 4 o'clock. Official status for the game.
Yes.
So we'll wait for that tomorrow. And then Saturday night on Patriots.com, usually the Patriots, based on who traveled, give your early outs. So if people didn't go, obviously they're not going to play, and they reveal that Saturday night.
That is true.
Yes.
Unlike yesterday when you said, if Gronkowski gets on the plane, he's going to play. I don't necessarily agree with that. But if they don't go, I do agree they won't play.
Unless they take their own way of getting there.
Yeah, that doesn't happen too often.
No.
It's not like Paul and Andy fly in day of for cover a Falcons game.
Ironically,
we did that.
Coincidentally, I should say. Not. I don't want Eric to get the grammar police.
Speaking of the grammar police and words, can you go right to the email about Holistic?
Yes.
A guy talked to an RPI friend that knows
Matt. Roommate. Matt Patricia's roommate.
We got our answer on all that Holistic stuff, and Matt Patricia, as I expected, was about 6 levels above my head when he was talking.
Well, the email comes from Ethan. And he says, I know that you seem to be really bothered by Matt Patricia's answer to the cornerback safety meeting question, so I thought I might break it down for you. Essentially, what he was saying is that he's using a systems engineering approach to the defense. I spoke with his college roommate. The Rocket world is very small, and they were taught the concepts at RPI. As we know, Matt Patricia was actually a rocket scientist, right?
Yep. Was working on like nuclear subs or about to when he kind of went back into football.
Rensselaer, what is it, Polytechnic
Institute.
Yeah. The basic idea is this. You start with what the system, or in this case, the defense needs to do, similar to your keys to the game. Next, you break it down into subsystems, in this case, D-line, back, or secondary, and what those systems need to do for the overall system to work. From there, you break those subsystems down into their subsystems, corners, safeties, and what they need to do. Then you drill down again to the individual parts, or in this case, left corner, right corner, blah, blah, blah. This is known as the requirements breakdown. And my guess is that it's done by the coaches. Then you work your way back up. So you get the idea.
Right.
Right.
So both was the answer.
Right.
They work together and individually.
But it is interesting that no matter what we say on this show, someone has some direct answer by some means.
But it's not even someone has a direct answer. Someone is an expert on the smallest little subset of information. I find it fascinating.
Because, you know, it's the Rocket community is small.
It's a small community. A small but proud community.
Now, do they have, like, conventions in Vegas where they just live it up?
Sure.
So, Ethan, really coming through for that one, because Andy and I really didn't know what Matt was talking about yesterday.
Freddie, by the way, congratulations first on Gillette Stadium, named one of the, I don't know, most technologically cool stadiums or something.
I think you deserve a lot of the credit for that.
I don't buy into those magazine listings.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't. It's positive. But my guy Shaq is on your tail. You read about him?
What?
He just bought into the
Sacramento
Kings.
Oh, really?
And they are working on an arena, and they want to build the world's first cashless arena where you do everything from your phone. Everything would be smartphone enabled and pay and all that crap. And I just thought that was right up your alley, kind of with all this stuff you're doing here to retrofit this place. They're going to try to do it right out of the gates and build it, kind of like MetLife, I guess, attempted to do with a lot of technology.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
I don't buy it. You can't be cash free. It's America. You have to have the ability, if somebody walks up with a $20 bill,
to
sell them what they want.
Right.
You can't say, no, we only take, you have a cell phone.
Like that. Now, there are like clubs, like fancy clubs, but you can't have an entire arena be cash free.
The club behind home plate at Fenway for a while was cashless.
Is it still
cashless?
Yeah, I know a lot of those clubs, but that's
something
an
you knowingly buy into.
Yeah, the general
public. You can't
just
show up at a game as general admission and say, no. Oh, no, you can't use money here.
General public is not allowed in that
club.
Plus,
it's bad business, too.
Well, that's...
If someone has a $20 bill ready to hand it to you, take it.
That's my bigger picture, is it's bad business to just say we're going no cash.
Now, the idea, obviously, is, and I fall for this all the time, you use your credit card or digital currency, you spend more. because it's not as real. You know, if you go like this and roll out 100,
I'm the embodiment of that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if you take out $100,
and you
feels
know it.
Like you're spending more than just you swipe it, that feels the same whether it's a dollar, $100, whatever. So, but you can't turn away people that are cash-paying customers.
I don't think so.
Now, he was probably just speaking sort of.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what solution they choose for this cashless thing, because there's all kinds of, you know, solutions
Bitcoin
out there.
Bitcoin, I saw that.
Oh, no, Bitcoin,
about.
Forget about. But,
oh,
you know,
down.
There's a lot
that
of.
Was so yesterday, apparently.
There's a lot of banks now that have.
It's unlike you to be behind,
you know,
the times on that stuff.
Are they going to do what they call near field communication, where, you know, you just hold your phone up to a device and it reads it? Is it going to be a scan thing? Is it, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what they choose for that, because everybody's looking for the thing. And the problem is there's no one standard.
Right.
You know? Cash, like you said, it's a standard. The mag strip on the back of a card right now is a standard.
That's what I was going to ask. How did that get standardized so that Visa, MasterCard, American Express are all using the exact same swipe?
Yeah, they just, I don't know, like they had this room with.
Is it a back room?
Yeah.
Deal? Like they all went in. And
I mean, it's obviously to their benefit to do the same thing, you know? So.
But it's like SpeedPass. Remember the original? I mean, that was a long time ago. SpeedPass came out for mobile with
the
little black thing.
But they don't like that anymore.
Right.
Because people didn't want to have that extra thing on their keychain.
ESPN, it says, on the future of head coach Mike Schiano. It's Greg.
Greg's like, phew, I thought they were talking about me.
That's a pretty egregious error.
Yes.
Well, there's no doubt.
Well, the guy who typed it went to school with Mike Schiano.
Whether it's ESPN or NFL Network,
Rodney Mayo.
The people that write those crawls are not coordinating with the people on air, because a lot of times they contradict.
Well, Breer always complains about that.
Yeah,
Albert always says
he had the thing during training camp.
That's not what I said.
In training camp, when Tebow was here and he was doing a special teams drill, and in the crawl, whatever the graphic was, it said that he was taking reps with running backs, running the ball and receivers or something like that. And Albert was saying exactly the opposite, that he did not take any reps with receivers and has played nothing but quarterback and did something in a special teams drill.
Yeah, so I've seen that more than I should on both stations. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500. Let's go to the Ace Ticket hotline. Todd's in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, a couple things. I'm glad to see that Bolden stayed with the team, for one, because when I called him the preseason, you guys weren't too sure whether he'd make it or not.
We were discussing it.
He was a bubble guy. No question.
Was, but I like him. I think he's a good back, very versatile. Number two, who would replace Will Fork if he goes down? Or what defensive formations would they use?
Well, Villano and Kelly. I mean, Joe Villano, as we talked about yesterday, you know, top five among undrafted players playing. We've seen him get a lot of reps. They've rotated him for both spots. He's worked alongside both Kelly and Wilfork. So I think, you know, it's not ideal, but you'd have Kelly and Villano.
Right. And lastly, a prediction for the game.
Bang.
I think the Falcons squeak out a winner with like a last-minute field goal or something.
Ooh.
Okay. So you are mentally prepared to lose this football game.
Oh, no, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to punch walls, cry, and have a big, ugly fit. My wife will probably divorce me. But, yeah, I got this feeling.
Okay. Not a good feeling, but I might be along with you. I don't know.
All right, Todd.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd in Toronto.
That's a good line, by the way, as Felger would say. It's a quality phone line.
Yeah, it was a good landline.
It was a very clear line.
Good landline.
Good, good.
Love the phone. I'm going to stop you right there. I can't take your phone.
He's such a douche.
He is really such an ass.
What else are we talking about today?
Tom Brady wants a nickname.
He wants a nickname. I thought he had Tom Terrific. That was his nickname.
That's not what he brought up. He
plus
brought up
somebody
his,
else's nickname.
His self. Who's Tom Terrific?
Tom Seaver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's generational. You can move
Iron
on.
Mike Tyson was also Iron Mike Ditka.
So was Mike Ditka's nickname first.
I know, but so he wants an original, his own. Well, no one's ever had
The way it started yesterday is Curran, as soon as Brady started his press conference, Curran said, how come you don't have a cool nickname like Matty Ice? And Brady was like, well, yeah, that's a good question. Maybe that's a story for this week. And then he goes like, TB12's kind of cool or something. And I'm, no, it isn't.
No.
You made that up. That's a self-made brand. That's not even a nickname.
Andy Rent time.
I mean, but it's not a nickname.
And the closest thing he's had, and it's really not his nickname, is Brady Bunch, which is not referring to really him. It's about the people around him.
Yeah. Right. He really doesn't have a nickname.
It is
Tom Terrific would be the
But
closest.
If you look at all the quarterbacks, they really don't have
Well, Joe Cool was Joe Montana.
No, no, but like
Broadway
no,
Joe no, was named.
What's Peyton Manning's? Besides yours.
The big penis.
Right. Penis head.
Yeah, besides yours.
No, I sir, I heard Drew, Chris Berman call him that.
Drew Brees. What's Drew Brees's? You know, Aaron Rodgers, sometimes, I don't know if they do that like that E-Rod like thing, but yeah. Even that, like, that's not really his nickname.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, like, the great quarterbacks, they really don't have them now.
Not, so
now
not anymore.
Now it's a bad thing for Matty Ryan because he
no,
has a nickname?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, that got me to start thinking, like, well, you know, the Mannings don't really have them.
And, right.
You know, I mean, I guess Roethlisberger, maybe Big Ben has.
Big
you
Ben.
Know, you know,
oh, certainly.
He has
He's
one.
Definitely Big Ben.
Yeah.
You know, but most of the others, like, I started thinking of this. Don't I get in a lot of traffic. I have time on my hands. I started thinking about the, you know, the other quarterbacks, and I was like, most of them really don't have a nickname.
So yeah. RG3 will never be good.
Okay. Some of them do. Andrew Luck doesn't have a nickname.
Are we sure?
Russell Wilson?
I think he has one. I think he has.
Who, Luck?
Colin Kaepernick?
I think Russell Wilson has one that's used a lot in Seattle.
Well, we have people from Seattle. Let us know. So, has the nickname, is it not as prevalent as it used to be?
Yeah, it's because we're not as good as our forefathers.
Yeah.
Writers. They used to come up with these great names.
Hey, we've tried. Don't blame us. Yeah. I mean, remember when we were...
Big Smooth.
Yeah, Big Smooth.
Right.
H-Bomb.
Freddie Boom Boom Coleman. Scorier.
Yeah, we've tried a lot over the years. They haven't all stuck. Most haven't. But we've tried. We've tried to do our part.
What would you call Brady? What's a good nickname for Tom Brady? Let's figure this out. Something to do with California, Hollywood, models,
Metro TV.
Celebrity. Well, it's got to be favorable.
Instead of Metro
PD, it can't be degrading. It's got to be something that props him up.
Why is it degrading?
Metro, come on.
He is Metro.
Us men don't like to be called Metro.
Us men don't hug goats and do a lot of the stuff that he does.
What is that, Kevin?
You said he's the chosen one.
The chosen one?
What he is. He's got everything. I mean, you joke, Fred, but I have no doubt if you went up and asked him if you could be somebody else for a day, who would you be? You'd say myself.
Right.
No, he would have a good answer.
His life's that cool, though.
It is.
Well, more than one of his teammates has said Tom Brady to that answer.
Obviously. That's weird, right? Like, if you take it to the next step, they're thinking of banging your wife.
You know, a lot of times when your name is Tom, when you have, like, a real
easy... You don't think of that, Andy?
I don't find
her that attractive.
When you have a real easy first name, a lot of times they don't give you a nickname because you just say Tom. It's easy to say.
What about Tom? Most of them call him Tommy.
Tommy. Well, Randy Moss and those guys. Yeah.
A lot of those guys.
His father always calls him
Tommy.
Yeah. And I think...
Tommy Gunn?
Be better if he had a gun.
Well, his arm is his gun.
No, I know. I wish he had a gun.
Oh, come on.
He doesn't have a gun. He has a good arm, not a gun. It's not like Elway where they talk about leaving crosses on their chests when they catch the ball.
I don't know. I never really thought about what his nickname could be.
The Natural?
Yeah, The Natural, but, you know, that's...
What? You got a nickname for Tom Brady? No socks?
No socks.
I like Tom Terrific.
We're trying to figure out a nickname for Tom Brady.
And not the branded TB12.
In his 20th year, we're trying to figure out a nickname for Tom Brady.
Telling you, I think it's our fault. It's the media's fault. The media used to come up with great nicknames back in the day. The Galloping Ghost, Crazy Legs Hirsch. I mean, we don't come up with anything good like that now.
Right, Wrong Way Ragles.
I don't know who that is.
Wrong Way
that was
Ragles.
The guy that in the football game in college. He ran the wrong way for a touchdown. They call him Wrong Way Ragles. No?
I'll take your word for it.
Come on.
Gorgeous, anyone old?
Back in the days of Bronco Nagurski.
Okay.
These guys are mythical legends.
I don't know about the days of Bronco Nagurski.
Bronco? He had a nickname?
That wasn't his name?
No.
Oh.
It was a horse.
Gino Cappelletti was the Duke?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
The Duke-a-roo.
Tom Brady could throw a ball through a Fruit Loop today. Hello?
Yeah, I don't... There's nothing.
I think
Metro TD is the best one.
No, you can't have it like that.
Or Metro TB.
Yeah. No. How about Touchdown Tom? No.
Stupid.
He has the record for most touchdowns in a season.
He did.
You think that's going to
be... Oh, wait, this year's not over yet.
Oh.
No, there's no Bay. There's just nothing Bay Area.
Well, let's see if Christian, the TIN, has an idea. Hey, Christian.
Suki. Of course I do.
What do you got?
Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
From the Bay Area, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Golden Boy.
Now, that's the boxer, right? What's his name?
Oscar De La Hoya.
Oscar De La Hoya is Golden Boy.
Yeah, the Golden Boy. I always call him the Golden Boy.
Yeah, I guess there's not enough good nicknames. You got to double them up. Iron Mike, Tom, yeah. Tom Terrific, Golden Boy. You got to double them up.
Just, whiny little bit. Just not, I mean, what?
There's not enough.
I blame the media, like Paul said.
We're lazy.
You know?
Now people do use TB12, but it wasn't a nickname. I mean, it's a brand.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Tommy, but that is kind of queer.
Tommy.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not 1968.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, he would like everyone to call him TB12 because it promotes his brand.
Yeah, but you can't buy the hat anyway. He's the only one that
I know. That's no fair. If he wants us to use TB12, get that hat on the market.
I thought he finally made it available. No?
No. I've seen people wearing them, but Mike and Sharon's got one.
Oh, lucky Mike.
Yeah, I don't really care for it.
What's the reason I'm calling is what's the matchup you're looking at? I mean, I know on defense that we got to take out Julio Jones, but where do you think this offense can exploit the Falcon defense? Because I don't know the Falcon defense all that well. Like, where do you guys see the weaknesses in that team?
I think, you know, I know it's going to sound like a broken record, and you know, from what we've seen over the years, but I think the middle of the field. I think, you know, you got to, especially if Amendola can play, but if not, Julian Edelman. You know, in the middle of the field.
I don't have a feel for the offense. I mean, I can't tell you who's going to do what. Like, I can't say that I know that Dobson is going to do this, or I know that, I mean, I know that Edelman is going to be open and is going to catch some short passes and still needs 140 catches to get over 1,000 yards and all that. But who else are you willing to say, I know what this guy can do? I don't. We're not there yet. We're not at that point.
I think Gronk would be obviously huge because of his talent, but I think specifically against this team too. I think that, you know, I was listening to an Atlanta guy, and I'm not sure, I don't remember who it was, but
Algie
Crumpler was talking about how much trouble they have on tight ends. So, you know, that's a huge difference. See, I mean, no matter what the Hooman and Sudfeld do, I don't think you're going to win the game.
Well,
doing
that's
that.
The problem.
But you can do it. You can win the game with Gronkowski if he's up to it physically.
But without Gronkowski, can you take advantage of them having trouble?
Right.
You can't.
Nope.
Really.
No.
You know,
that's what I get to know. Consistency. Your only consistent option is Edelman.
But they're missing all their players. So I mean, this is, it should be a defense that the Patriots should be able to score points against. There's no question
the
about
kid
that.
With Weatherspoon? Weatherspoon,
yeah.
Is he out?
He's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a pretty.
Weatherspoon,
pretty good
Bierman.
Bierman's pretty good.
Samuel is back, but not entirely healthy. Their other cornerback, McLean, I think Robert McLean, hasn't played very well, and he's been hurt. He was a full participant yesterday, but he's dealing with a knee injury, I believe. So they have, you know, a significant amount of trouble on that defensive side.
Samuel worries me, I'm going to be honest. If he's out there because of the floating ability he has,
yep,
and in an offense that's not quite clicking and a ball could be deflected or in the wrong, he takes advantage of those types.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, Dobson is 3 yards to the left of where he's supposed to be, and Samuel's looking, and then he says, "Oh, I'm not going to go after the guy. I'm going after
the
Brady.
Ball.
I'm going after the ball." And all of a sudden, boom!
Do the Patriots, you know, in the way that they often do,
bait him,
target him a little bit?
I hope not.
I don't think you have anybody to target him with.
I hope you target the other guy who's been struggling all year.
Because I think there's a chance that if you fake out Samuel, you might fake out the receiver as well that you're trying to fake Samuel out with.
It's just like on Sunday. I was glad that they didn't target Revis a lot. I didn't
except
think that was.
Except when you had the matchup
except
with
Bolden
on Revis.
You know, I'm not advocating staying away from him the whole day and ignoring him, but I don't want to sit there and try to make my living, you know, baiting him into bad plays.
All right, Christian.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay.
By the way, I do want him to run at him. I know Paul hates the running game, but I'm all for some running.
You should
week.
Be able to run the ball.
Well,
I mean, I know statistically, I think they're fifth against the run, but.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of what we saw from Bolden catching passes as well as Ridley.
Sure,
you know,
this is not a good run defense despite the numbers. I looked last week, Miami hasn't been able to run the ball at all this season. First 2 weeks they didn't run it at all. Last week, Lamar Miller had 8 carries for 62 yards, I think, 60 something yards, and Daniel Thomas in a limited role averaged over 4 yards a carry. He's really struggled, even though he was a guy that Andy and I really liked coming out of Kansas State. He had like something like, you know, 4 or 5 carries for, you know, another 30 yards or so. He averaged better than 4 yards a pop. So that's a team I think you can run against, but I'm not sure that teams have committed to running against them, and I think that's why the numbers are down. Because it's not, don't forget, that doesn't go by average. That goes by yards.
How's their kicker in terms of touchbacks? because I'm going to make a bold prediction. If Leon Washington plays, he takes one to the house.
Okay.
That's the kicker. But I might have to, you know, take that back.
It is indoors.
If the kicker has been, you know, kicking every one of them out of the end zone, then obviously you can't return it.
That's pretty much what everybody does at this time of year. So yeah. I would assume that they're going to be touchbacks.
Oh, they should do it any time of year. They
indoors, yeah.
Yeah, for them, yeah.
Who is it? Who's the kicker? Lindell? No.
I don't know.
No, that's this week. Wait, who are we talking about?
I thought you did the preview poll.
I don't remember who they I don't know who their kickoff guy is. I don't remember.
Why not? Isn't it Lindell?
No. I think Matt Bryant is their field goals. Bryant is their field goal kicker, but I don't think he kicks off. I think they have a different guy that kicks off.
Let's go to Fitchburg, Mass. Chris is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
Good.
I've got a couple ideas for nicknames for Tom Brady.
Okay.
And I'm not one of those fair weather fans, you know, that just, you know, gives up on him 3 games into the season. I came up
like
with
Paul.
Showtime. That was my first idea, Showtime.
Showtime.
But I think it's a little bit more fitting to call him the tactician.
The tactician. Okay.
Tacticianer. Or whatever, whatever you want to call it.
Because how about the cerebral assassin?
He runs such a complicated offense. I mean, he's so tactical. I mean, I think it, you know, would be fitting.
All right. Okay. How about Audible?
Audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, I'm trying to throw a couple ideas out there. You know, I'll bounce them off you.
Yeah, that's good. I like the idea of playing off the intelligence rather than,
yeah,
you know, the arm or all that stuff. So, okay, now we've got a path to run on. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
how about something like the model?
The model?
Like, because he's the model.
How about
NFL
the chin?
Quarterback.
The chin.
Yeah, I don't
he's
know.
Got that cleft chin.
That ass chin.
No?
What did I give up on? Just out of curiosity.
The Patriots after 3 games.
Why did I give up on them by
I
picking
don't know.
Them to go
when they're not
and
doing
four?
Well.
That is not true.
I mean,
he was never on the Patriots.
Andy doesn't think that anybody's going to win 12 games, and I'm predicting the Patriots to win 12 games. And that's, that consists of giving up on the team? I don't understand.
Yeah, but you do it in a passive-aggressive.
It's not passive-aggressive. I think they're going to win 12 games.
They're going to win their 12 games, but they're not going to do anything in the playoffs,
That is what I feel.
Okay, so that's really bad.
That is what I feel.
That's
why is that
nice.
Bad?
That's not nice.
Should I just pretend that I, like you,
they have as
that
much
they don't
chances,
have any problems?
They have as much chance as anyone in the playoffs.
Okay, well, I don't believe that.
Who, except for Denver, who has a better
okay,
chance?
Okay, then you just said they have as much chance as anyone. And then immediately, 3 seconds later, you said, except for Denver.
Well, who are the other
teams? Seattle. And who else?
Well, I'm talking about before they get to the Super Bowl, in the AFC.
Okay. Well, I think that Denver right now is better than them.
I do, too.
I think that Cincinnati right now is better than them.
We'll see.
Matt Bosher is their punter and does their kickoffs.
Okay.
Okay.
And Matt Bryant is their kicker.
Yes, Paul.
A punter-kicker.
Relatively common.
Kickoff.
Yeah. Not
relatively common. Did they have that last time? They had Dirk Koetter or Mark Koetter or something.
Dirk Koetter is an offensive coordinator.
Oh.
Michael Kanan was a punter and kicked off.
Kanan Ivory Wayans.
And he now plays for Tampa.
I knew he was on a different team. I knew that.
Let's go to Dwight in Alabama. Hey, Dwight.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Roll Tide.
Shut up.
That wasn't me.
Who was that? Was that Andy?
No, that was Fred.
That was me.
He stole my line.
Yeah, well, Andy, you took too long.
That's what your wife said.
What?
Nothing, go ahead.
Oh, what do you guys see on the special teams, ours against theirs? What do you think could happen?
Well, I mean, now we're really getting into deep football talk.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we know Slater's out.
Yep.
So, you know, especially coverage. That hurts a little bit.
They were okay last week.
Yeah, but they didn't have a lot of points scored, so, you know.
What?
There weren't a lot of kickoffs.
There were plenty of kickoffs. They all went out the back of the end zone, and that'll continue to happen this week. You're going to have to cover punts, which means you're going to have to deal with Harry Douglas, which means you're going to have, was it Logan Ryan or Daron Harmon?
Daron Harmon.
Daron Harmon was the gunner,
in place of Slater,
covering that move.
And they had only one punt return, and it was success. It was like 12 yards. It was better than average for what they had been doing. But I don't anticipate special teams being a big issue in the game. I mean, there might be a play. You never know when a big play is going to come in special teams. But Douglas is a guy they've really been calling for to return punts. And then last week he went out there and fumbled one. So I'm not necessarily sure that's going to be a big.
Does playing indoors?
I don't know, Jaquizz Rogers, does he still do kicks?
Kickoffs, yeah.
You know, he's a dangerous guy, but he's not going to get a chance. They're all going to be touchbacks.
Does playing indoors favor the kicking team? I'm talking about punts. Or the returning team?
I would say the kicking team. It's a controlled environment.
Yeah, yeah. I would
you
say
you can control your kick.
It's easier to catch because there's no wind, no sun.
Yeah, but it's easier. I think catching is easier than maybe. I think directional punting and all that can be very difficult with wind and environment. It's perfectly controlled.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you're eliminating kickoffs.
Well, yeah.
Because I think they're all going to be touchbacks.
Right. Okay.
Will Boyce have any playing time, you think?
Yes.
That's Fred says yes.
He will. I think this is the week to integrate him a little bit.
So you think Leon Washington will be back deep? You think he's going to be
back? I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, then
you
know Boyce is going to play, but you don't
I
know
said if he play. If he plays and he'll return one to the house.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
right,
a bold
guys.
Prediction.
What about Bolden?
I'll be at the game this weekend. Hopefully everything goes well. I expect the Patriots to pull out a very close game.
So, you,
and
what's the score,
Dwight? You're going to actually be there at the game?
Yes.
Where are you sitting?
The stands.
Visitor side, top upper deck. I think 345, row one.
Okay, you're with a lot of other Patriots fans. Are you just there with a friend or?
I don't know. One of my friends, he's a Cincinnati fan, but he wants to see the Patriots before we play them, so he's coming.
Okay, he's a scout.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty hardcore.
All right, Dwight. Well, have a good game, and I hope the Patriots do it for you.
Thank you. I hope they do, too.
All right.
Roll Tide.
Dwight in Alabama.
Can I have a little rant for a second / question? Somebody tweeted to me yesterday. I think it was from Deadspin. Some NFL team has commissioned
the draft
an economist. I know everybody calls it an inexact science, but isn't the draft an art? Isn't scouting players an art? I mean, isn't that something where it's feel, it's experience, it's knowing your needs, reading a guy's everything, mind, body, soul, head? Especially in the NFL, we've seen there's so much difference between a guy who works. You know, I heard a funny thing the other day that the day that Alden Smith got pulled over at 7 for a DUI, Colin Kaepernick had arrived at the stadium at 6 to study film, just to show the two divergent mentalities of two players. Like, I don't think drafting is a science, even though everybody says it's an inexact science. It's an art. So therefore, these studies that this guy in this round and the success rate and that's all trying to add a scientific element to something that I believe is an art.
And what would you consider an art? Like, what's your definition of it, of an art?
Something that is based on your own skills and talents and abilities. Like, music is an art. I don't think you can program a computer to do something as well as Yo-Yo Ma or whatever, because he has an art. He has a feel. There is a certain feel for it that you can't make scientific. And I think for the draft, we've seen you can have height, weight, speed, 40, you know, good fit. But if you're lacking something, you'll still be a bust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scout / GM's job to figure out what that is and figure out his own rules.
Yeah.
His own...
So I'll go with you there because, you know, whether you call scouting an art or a talent, it's the same thing. If you're a good guitar player, that is art, but you have a talent for that. You have an aptitude for in scouting, recognizing ability. And some are better than others, there's no doubt. There are some men or whoever that when they see a player, they can recognize what that guy can do better than other people.
Right. Which is why
so that it eliminates science. You're right.
I forgot the exact person who's doing it, and then I said the team is unnamed, but they've hired some, and it's not the famous one, the Andrew one from out here that's always
Zimbalist.
He's always quoted. It's not him. But another one of those types of guys to do a study and they're finding that I don't get it. You can't break it down on an Excel spreadsheet, the art of scouting an NFL player, in my opinion. It is an art.
I think to a degree you use that, but then
it's part of the picture.
To go beyond that, you need the art.
But just like
you know, there are some great musicians who just play. You know, they never learn. But then there are others who learn, but then put their own spin on it, and that's what makes them great.
But here's where I know what you're saying, but I've read, I don't know if it's Tipping Point, one of those books, but even the great ones, the people you're talking about that had that natural aptitude, because they had that natural aptitude for whatever it was, playing piano, they practiced more because they saw results. And,
right.
And they were more eager to do the work it's necessary to be great because they saw that natural aptitude in them.
Yeah, I would say Bill Belichick knew at some point, hey, I'm pretty good at this.
So it's not like
I can see things. My dad saw that, and I saw the same exact thing he did.
Right. So it's not like a great scout just knows it. They put in as much work, if not more, than any other scout, but they have the aptitude.
But I also think it's the same. Any experience helps you. Whether it's music or scouting, the experience is part
of it. The more, the better.
Right.
Yeah.
And artists, you know, they paint something and that didn't really like it. And then the next time they do it a little differently and they like how it comes, whatever.
Right.
There is an evolution of your art. You don't just, you know, fall out of bed and do what you do. And
it's
you never,
a cumulative effect.
You hone your talents and skills.
Sure.
But it's why I've always criticized Belichick, because, you know, you're just as likely to get X in the second round as the first. On average, that may be true when I include all the crap bum GMs that are picking. I consider you good. I want you to take your artistic talents, your strengths, and pick earlier.
Well,
because the better players are available earlier.
But I'll give you the Michael Holly on the radio just yesterday told the story about Deion Branch, where he was off the board on the Patriots and came in. They worked him out, you know, saw him, I guess, in, you know, some of the postseason, you know, workouts. And Belichick said, why is this guy off the board, and moved him up, you know, based on what he saw?
Right.
You know, so that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I, as much as we criticize it for Razi Dowling, you know, the scouts didn't want him, Bill wanted him, I still think Bill is great. I don't know if he's a very, very good drafter, but he's a good personnel guy. And it's his team. It's his systems. He's the architect of the offense and the defense. I trust him. I don't want him saying, well, the average blah, blah, blah pick in the second round.
Right.
Blah. No. You're not average. You're special. You have a talent. Go use it. Go put it to good use. So sometimes I think these guys try to put far too much of a scientific spin on something that isn't
the
science.
The whole Jimmy Johnson metric about, you know, you need to get this value for trade. What do you think about that? Because that kind of takes away the instinct.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what he was trying to do with the chart was just to sort of establish some sort of
a
value to try to help you determine.
But that should not be the end all be all.
And it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw trades last year throughout the first round that some of them were dead on that draft chart and some of them were way off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Andy said, it's a feel.
Right.
Like you look at it. I mean, Dimitroff didn't go by the chart by any means.
But don't you feel like whatever you feel your area of expertise is, don't you feel that whenever you go against your gut, you make a mistake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that.
And that's what I want him to do. Go with his gut.
Yeah.
His experiences is part of his gut. His failures is part of his gut. You know, all that is an accumulation within his gut of talent and natural ability. But don't pretend you're the same as everybody else. You're not. You're better. You're better than they are. You are not Matt Millen.
Right.
All those statistics include Matt Millen. Do you really think? If I asked Bill with the truth serum, are you a better GM than Matt Millen? I sure as hell hope he would say yes.
Yeah.
Because if he says no, I think it's all a crapshoot. That would not be good. I would not feel good if he said it's a crapshoot. I don't believe I'm good.
You know, like if I'm playing golf, I don't trust my instincts because I stink at golf. But if I'm playing any sport against you,
tennis.
Andy, I trust my instincts.
Well, tennis, if you're playing tennis.
Assuming your heart's still working.
Dan Higgins writes in, Peyton's nickname is the Sheriff, according to John Gruden.
Oh, Dangerous. Is what they like to call Russell Wilson. Dangerous.
Dangerous.
That's stupid.
So what's your favorite nickname? A good nickname?
The Sheriff. I've heard that before.
Like Joe Cool, I thought, was a good nickname for Joe Montana.
And doesn't Flacco get that too?
Yeah. It's like they're all like just repeating.
Right, if it's Joe, it's Joe Cool.
He can't, you know, act like Dan Marino and be called Joe Cool.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's because Flacco is very
similar. And Marino was Dan the Man, wasn't it? Wasn't Marino Dan the Man?
His name was Dan.
That just wouldn't make any sense.
But wasn't Marino Dan the Man?
You're missing out on a classic Indian Paulism right here.
Okay.
But the annoying, the whole rod phase was so annoying. Anybody with a rod was the rod thing got out of control.
Yeah,
kind of like the low thing.
The what?
The low thing.
Tommy Touchdowns says one B-Lo. Person. Mike says nicknames for Tom Brady. Dr. Tom for his surgical passes. TD12 for all the touchdowns, or 199 for his draft position.
It's a tough day.
How about the tear jerker or something like that?
Sean in Vancouver looked up nicknames on Wikipedia. When I got to Tom Terrific, there is no mention of Tom Seaver. I'm old enough to remember the pitcher being called that, but in today's popular culture, the name now belongs to Brady.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely true. I think people, if you went on the street and said Tom Terrific, I mean, first of all, there's no one that would know who Tom Seaver is. Absolutely.
They know who he is.
They would talk about, you don't know who he is.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It was before 1985.
I hate you.
Yeah, that's. I agree with the emailer. That's absolutely attached to Brady at this point.
Artie in Boston says, in the movie Ted, now part of PFW lore, Ted and Mark Wahlberg's character John equate Tom Brady to Flash Gordon, a New York Jets quarterback who saves the universe. Talk about science fiction. So, how about Tom Flash Brady? I'm only moderately enthused about it myself, but it's a thought.
less than moderately we already had a prominent Boston athlete nicknamed Flash
Gordon.
His name was Tom Gordon.
Tom Gordon.
So on a different subject, Hope Gronk does play in Atlanta, but as Paul suggested, on a pitch count. If the game is in jeopardy, I'm very afraid that he will push himself too hard, so the coaches need to protect him from himself for a while.
But what is push himself too hard? I don't really get that. He's either healthy or he's not.
I'm worried about not necessarily the injuries that he has, as he's not ready to play 70 plays in an NFL game, and then all of a sudden you lose him the next week because, I don't know, maybe he tweaked a hamstring or something, because he's not quite ready physically. He hasn't. Why do they have guys on pitch counts in the opening day of the season? Because they're not quite ready to play a full NFL game coming off the preseason. That's why you see so much rotation early in the season.
No, I don't think he's going to play wire to wire. But I also don't think if you say, well, we'd like to get him a dozen snaps and he's at 11
and you're on the
final drive of the fourth quarter needing a touchdown.
No,
well, got to get him off the field. Oh, yeah. We're only going 11 deep.
But that's not what I'm saying.
But
when
part
I say
of that is
count.
Making
you
sure
that
you do save a little for the end, you know?
Or get a lead in the beginning.
Yeah, don't treat every possession like we need to score here. Gronk's got to be out there. Don't treat every single possession like that.
I just want to use him in the red zone.
Steven.
Maybe that's your pitch count. I'm only going to use him in the red zone.
What if we have a ton of trips into the red zone?
Then I don't think
that
you
was
have
good. You both sided the same.
Because then I don't think you have to worry about limiting him. You can sit him out on the last couple because you won the game.
Right.
I did have a question.
Unless Brady turns it over.
Like he has a lot in the red zone.
Yeah, that's another one. You know, the biggest problem in the red zone is the fact that we've had to kneel on the ball to run out the clock in the red zone and have some cheap non-scores in the red zone.
Is that what the two are?
We have one in the opening day. We kicked a game-winning field goal in the red zone, right? To win the game, we didn't try to score a touchdown.
No, but there's four scoreless trips. We
have
one this week, and we had the two Brady turnovers, the interception and the fumble.
Yeah, so
What's the other one?
I don't know.
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
The field goal wasn't a missed field goal from the red zone, was it?
Which field?
Were they in the red? The missed field goal at the end of the half against the Jets. They only missed one field goal.
No, that was outside the red zone.
But did they start in the red zone and then have Brady kneel on the ball 3 yards outside of the red zone or something? I don't know.
Are you trying to say that, like Al says, we should take Tebow back and make him the red zone quarterback?
No, what I'm saying is I don't really – I mean, the three games they're last in the red zone offense, I'm not concerned about it. It's a very small sample size. I know that might be pro-Patriots, Fred. You don't like that sort of stuff here. You know, when you say they're going to win 12 games, it's passive aggressive.
Well, no, it kind of just goes with your whole theory. Everything works out for Brady.
It's not.
He'll be fine
everything
in the
works
red zone.
Out. I don't think that they have red zone problems. Out. Instead of using three games as my gauge, I'm going to use his career as my gauge. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's three games with the weapons he has to work with.
Yeah, but they
can't use his career when he had actual
weapons. They're coming back.
They are coming back, but they are back to a few years ago when they did have red zone problems before Hernandez and Gronk got established. They had red zone problems.
Mostly Gronk.
You know?
I mean, the numbers in the red zone for Gronk and Brady and all those, like, completion percentage when he throws to Gronk versus anyone, all that stuff, Gronk is the answer.
Even though
Bill said, I don't know, Gronk's the answer.
That's the only thing that had me concerned. I said this to Andy upstairs. I really am not overly concerned with the red zone, but the fact that Bill doesn't know worries me. He's the coach.
Well, he's looking at it holistically.
Oh, I'm joking before anybody yells at me.
Steven texts about Brady, a few quick Brady nicknames. Tom Fab Life Brady or Tom the Option Brady.
Really opened up a stinky can of worms.
Zach says,
"What's the option move? I don't get. What's the Tom the option?
The option, because he's such an option. You know, not the option in as an offense, but he has several options when he comes to the line.
That's terrible.
Okay,
Zach finished telling me he didn't have the options.
Zach says, Tom the California kid.
Tom Cool.
Robin has a few.
Tom Tool
in Alaska. The statue." Molasses, Esquire, or the Tantrum?
Tom Tantrum.
So I don't know. See if
none of those are good.
Here.
Nothing. Nico really
says,
resonating here.
How about Tom the Director?
No. Nothing really resonating here.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's obvious. If there were a good option, it would have existed like a decade ago. He's been good forever. He's been like the star forever. A nickname would have percolated to the top. Right?
Okay.
Probably.
And it is kind of Tom Terrific. I mean, that's
Tom
kind of
Terrific
his
is probably what he's most known as, right? Would you guys say that?
Yeah.
Indiana Matt says, when Tom had his long hair, my wife called him Sunshine, referencing the quarterback in the movie Remember the Titans. Well, that's who Sudfeld is, now, right?
The next great tight end.
I have a general football question about punting. It was recently addressed on the Junior Broadcaster's show, but he and Eric did not have an answer. Why do punters no longer try to kick the ball to the corner pylon and out of bounds, the coffin corner? I see a lot of punts go into the end zone for touchbacks when it seems like kicking it out of bounds inside the 10 would be easier.
That's not what they've deemed.
Belichick believes that it's the higher percentage play to give your coverage team a chance to make a play. It's easier to have someone go down and down the ball inside the 10 than it is to be so precise with your kick as to knock it out of bounds as close to the goal line as you can without it being a touchback. Actually, Bill was asked specifically about that several years ago.
Yep.
It might have been by you, Andy.
I don't know about that.
No? That wasn't in your punting phase?
I'm more about just the leg.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Matt's in New York. Hey, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Matt,
is this Matty Ice?
I think whoever.
Oh, there he is. Matt.
Turn down your internet. Okay. Let's go to Melvin.
To hang up on him, you could have just put him on hold.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
How you doing?
Hey.
Pretty good.
Matt, call back.
If I could, it's something quick I got to say, but if you could kind of average an average amount of points that the defense could give up throughout these next three games, what would your pick be? Because I could kind of see that if they can still give it down 20 points to help these three teams, you know, within the low 20s. I think I feel a whole lot better about this team in the long run because, like you all said, that I think the defense has gotten better, but I realistically don't know how much better. So how many points would y'all give up?
If they average 21 points over the next three games, I'd be very happy.
I'd be ecstatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely thrilled.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if they get 28 and up, then I would kind of like how we felt last year when they went to Baltimore and kind of got beat up on them, then I'd be, you know, scratching my head a little bit, but that's my only point, though. I hope Chandler Jones can do some dances against some good teams this time, not just the Jaguars and Titans and dead sucky teams. So this is a time where we're looking for that year 2 jump so he can, you know, make his first strong. But that's it, man. Go ahead.
All right, Melvin. Thanks for calling. I think Raymond has the winner here. Ray is in Stratford, Connecticut for the Brady nickname, GQ. Don't you think that's his nickname?
No.
No? GQ?
Nah.
Really? Doesn't that embody it?
No.
How about Maxim? No?
FHM? Playboy? How about Penthouse? Hustler?
Jugs?
Robin Atlanta says, Tom Brady and Melty Ice. Okay.
Playboy.
Randy in Maine says, what about the mic? The defense could have all 11 guys lying on the field in a fetal position, and Tom won't snap the ball until he identifies the mic. This might make it quicker. That's funny.
That's funny. That was funny.
I like that. Louie in Chicago, all these people with horrible nicknames. Coming out of college, he was known as the Comeback Kid. That's pretty awesome and accurate. Another nickname would be God Brady, but I think that would be too controversial for people to like. Okay.
Yeah, I don't love it.
Are we going to take a break now?
Yeah, we're going to take a break. it's 12:59. We have to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you hung?
Hungry. Hungry. Oh, God.
Don't. Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should you know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Yeah.
thanks the Heffernans for
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's a. All right, we'll see you on. See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Boy, a lot of people are interested in the Brady nickname.
You'd think that would generate some good answers.
It's not like we're even giving away anything for contributions.
Well, we could probably give away a pair of tickets to tonight's Dante Hightower speech.
Oh, I think that's sold out now.
Oh, it is?
I think so.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't tell people that if it isn't. If you're still interested, go to the Hall at Patriot Place website, look
right.
at the tickets.
Right. You have a chance to have an intimate meeting with Dante Hightower.
And don't be a jerk if you ask questions like the first guy who responded to my tweet and said, how come you're not fast, would be his question for Dante Hightower.
Matt's calling back in New York. Matt, can you hear us this time?
Yeah, I can.
All right, great. What do you got?
I don't know if you guys talked about it already or not today, but I was just wondering what the chances are or if they already have it. If the Patriots would be calling Cleveland to see what they want for those receivers, possibly. Maybe one of them.
We haven't talked about it today. We've talked about it in general. Due to the report, I don't know if you saw this, but Hub Arkush, who's a longtime Pro Football Weekly guy, does some sideline reporting for games, said that he's already heard that the Patriots have been making calls around the league. This was last weekend in terms of potential trades. If that's true, I got to think one of those calls is Mike Lombardi, not Vince, in Cleveland. And Josh Gordon obviously is a guy that has a ton of talent, physical ability, and a ton of problems as well. So it'd be a risky acquisition. But I wouldn't be surprised if they've at least looked into a lot of things.
I mean, the rookies definitely played good last week, and it's just kind of ironic against the best secondary that they played that they stepped up. But adding depth never hurts.
Yeah, no question. It's just, you know, would you take the risk? And right now, are they even organizationally looking to bring on a sort of questionable character based on everything that went on in the offseason? Is this sort of a, whatever the opposite of a honeymoon period is, the cooling down period of maybe taking some of those risks? I don't know.
Is there anyone in Oakland that the Patriots should be interested in, wide receiver-wise?
I'm trying to think of Oakland's receivers.
Because I'm trying to think of teams that, like, already said, you know what, we give up.
Well, Jacksonville, Blackman would be a guy. If they were just blowing it up and didn't, you know, and he's kind of had some issues down there. Is he still suspended right now? Suspended right now, so it would be a Aqib Talib type trade if you traded for him. Certainly a physical talent, but they're a team that who knows what they're doing in terms of where they're going. If they tried to even just get more picks and blow it up, sort of like Cleveland's doing. But Josh Gordon, I mean, there's some people that think Josh Gordon is like the most physical receiver, I mean, the most talented receiver in the league, that he could be, and he just doesn't work hard, and he's, you know, an idiot and all that crap. Greg Little, it's Greg, right? I'm not as interested in. Drops a lot of balls, sort of a big, freakish type receiver. Not as interested in him. If it was anybody, it'd be Gordon, and I'd be scared to death of him.
I feel like it could possibly be a fit, like a high chance of a fit, just like you said, he's a good, like, he's not a hard worker, but if he had Brady throwing the ball compared to Whedon and Hoyer, maybe he would step up his game a little.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like he's been a kind of a douchebag his entire life, so yeah. that would worry me. It would also worry me, you have these other guys that are hard workers, if we're going to believe everything they're saying about Dobson and Tompkins and all that, and then you bring in this other guy who's not a hard worker but is more physically talented, and you start working with him, and I don't know what kind of message that sends to the rest of the unit, kind of. I'm not in love with the Gordon addition.
Yeah. Same here. It's just an idea. Just like you just said, though, you don't want to knock down Tompkins and Dobson's confidence.
Right. So my guess would be they're not going to do the troubled receiver route. If they bring somebody in, maybe it'd be more like a Jabbar Gaffney type or somebody that they can just get who they think is a fourth receiver somewhere who could be a little bit more than that here. I'm not even sure they're going to make a move with it. If they think Amendola, if he's really going to be 100% shortly, I'm not sure that there's a need for him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be careful about reaching out and seeing what's available. They're doing their due diligence.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't mean that they have no confidence in what they have. They want to see what else is out there.
And that includes they worked out David Nelson. They worked out
they've been working out wide receivers lately.
So, but I mean, if Amendola is coming back and Edelman stays healthy and you two young guys, I mean, are you going to upgrade over that right now with everything you've invested in the two young guys since they were drafted? I don't know.
Yep. All right, Matt, thanks for calling.
All right.
All right. Let's see. emails at webradio@patriots.com coming in fast and furious.
You're happy about that because you didn't get a lot yesterday and you were worried.
Alan in Scotland says Tommy Clutch. And he says, do you receive messages on curse words that are sent using the Android app because you never seem to post mine? I had thousands of messages that come through, and if I see it and it's decent, I'll post it, but I don't see all of them. I'll admit that.
So you get 11,000 messages over the course of 3 hours.
I said thousands.
Oh, I thought you wrote in
curse
words.
It's been over 10,000 the last couple of weeks.
Well,
you've been writing how many?
In our paper, you wrote 11,000, so I was just...
Well, that 1 week I did. Yeah.
So 11,000 over a three-hour span.
Right.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Pumping in while you're also all trying to watch a game. And
right. So,
and that's why we don't make fun of you anymore when three periods after we tell you Sebastian Vollmer's out, you go, oh, Vollmer's out.
Or when you spell all the running backs' names wrong.
Just so you know, like, I'm on the computer and I've got this panel. It's called a console, and I'm typing into it. And on the right side, on the right side, there's a column with all the comments, like, scrolling through, and they're, like, flying by. And when I look down, I'll post a couple, but I'm not always looking at it. I'm looking at the game, obviously. And then I look down, I see one, I post it. But chances, you know, there's hundreds that flash by while I'm not even looking.
Right. You need an intern.
You know, so.
How about if I do that, Drew? That'll be my game day responsibility.
No.
What?
I'll monitor your curse words, and I'll tell you, oh, this is a good one, this is a good one. And I can forward them to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And not do anything else.
How about we get a young intern? Maybe blonde.
I was going to say, might be attractive.
Well, one thing
obviously.
It's more of a, I don't want to make a rule, but it's kind of a suggestion is that, you know, don't submit comments that are like, oh, wow, or yay, or go Patriots, you know, because those take up, you know, space for
valuable time.
Well, make sure they're good, like my dog just crapped on the floor.
Well, those are okay. I like those.
The wide receiver thing, though, Fred, you mentioned the due diligence, and you're right, because we got a report because the receivers are the hot topic right now in New England. So a national guy is saying they're interested in they've been calling around about wide receivers, but we don't know if they're calling around about anybody else. Just in general, figuring out who's available. The trade deadline's a little later now. You know, last year they moved that back. It's now, I think it's October 29th, maybe, week 8, whatever it is. So maybe it is more than just wide receivers. I'm sure that they're looking for receiver help because it hasn't been great. You know, we're looking last week, and we're looking how much better it was last week than week 2. And it was. It was better. There was some progress there, and I think that's what to be excited about. But it's still at not a really efficient level. Certainly not levels that the Patriots are used to.
Oh, God, no.
They'd be foolish not to be looking at all their options. Kenny Britt's another guy that supposedly is looking to be traded. He has asked for a trade from Tennessee. I don't know if that'll change for him, given the fact that the Titans are somewhat surprisingly off to a 2-1 start. You know, maybe if they have the Jets this week, they could be 3-1 after September.
Right. The same thing with the Browns. If they keep winning, then they don't want to shake things
keep
up.
Keep winning. They won once.
I know, but they made a quarterback change and they won the game. You know, so who knows?
Well, they're quarter. No, yeah. I mean, I don't think the Browns are going to win too many games.
Okay.
I mean, the Titans, I don't think are very good, but I think they have a chance to be sniffing on the edges of the playoff race in terms of being like 8-8, so, you know, 9-7, somewhere around that area. I'd be surprised if the Browns won more than 4 games.
Howard, John in South Carolina says Tom Effin' Brady. That should be his nickname. Shout out to the PFW Elite. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Suck it, Big Al.
And the rest of that, Freddie, is Cleveland has put it out there that those guys are available. In Tennessee, Kenny Britt says he wants to be traded. Tennessee hasn't exactly said, we're going to accommodate him. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there.
Jeffrey writes in, serious question from a newer Patriot fan. After observing Belichick display signs of a remarkable memory in various interviews, I wonder, has there ever been a documentation of his IQ? He also seems to surround himself with smart people without feeling intimidated or threatened. It could also explain some of his eccentricities in sometimes indelicate handling of the press and other people.
No.
And by the way, Florida doesn't smell. It's the effect of the much greater humidity on someone's more sensitive nasal cavity. Enjoying the show from Florida.
So it smells.
Please even out the audio levels, says Jeffrey.
Yeah, your mic is I don't know, hot or something
really?
Today. Yeah.
It's really loud?
Yeah, it was like popping through.
Yeah, you don't need to have me so loud, Kevin.
I just turned you down a bit.
As you can guess, he was eating instead of paying attention to the audio levels.
Well, when
what do you think, Belichick's
on the
IQ?
Board? Do you have like a thing that has you know red and green,
yellow?
Yeah, you're not in the red.
Now, am I? No, was no, I before?
Andy was in the yellow right there. Oh.
That's just yellow.
That's just yellow. So how that gives you an idea of like how
I'd
it's
have
hard
to be
to
Seattle like to get in the red.
Well, you'd have to pump it in,
right?
Says Fred.
What's a good IQ?
I think like over 140 or something like that, or I'm not sure.
How do you get an IQ test?
If remembering,
you take one.
Well, you take it. You didn't take an IQ test in school?
No,
really?
I didn't. Did
you never took an IQ test?
Never.
Not that I know of.
I did.
I've never taken an IQ test.
I don't think so no. either.
I don't have any idea what.
How do you
IQ
do it though? Like,
you ask me.
What?
Online or do you go somewhere?
Yeah,
or?
I think you have to go somewhere. Mensa does them, right?
I thought Mensa was if you had a high IQ, you joined.
Right. Then you're allowed to join them. If you have, but who submits IQ tests?
I just asked you that.
I thought it was
like standard public school type stuff.
No.
Well, we took them at Everett growing up.
Really?
I know that. Absolutely.
It was a modified Everett IQ
If you
test.
Have over a 90, they put you into the bookie.
If the Patriots are favored by 3 and you want to parlay that with.
Right. They put you into the bookie program.
If you could do a three-team, if you couldn't do a three-team tease by the time you hit the third grade, you were out.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I never had one.
But if remembering like random stuff was an indication of a high IQ, what would my IQ be?
0, because I just asked you about the 4 times they didn't score in the red zone, and as usual, you didn't have the answer.
I didn't know there were 4 times.
Colin in Belgium, I think a lot of people.
But if you asked me how they didn't score in 1982 in the red zone, I'd have had the answer for you on that.
A lot of people are kind of missing the point on the Welker versus Amendola argument. I think we could all agree that Welker will be more productive this year, and we'd have been better this year if he'd stayed. Given that this year Amendola is like a Mr. Potato Head with a bunch of parts missing, or at least not attached where they're supposed to be, I don't think anyone can argue that. The real question is, what will the comparison look like next year or in 3 years? That's when we'll find out if Bill screwed the pooch in this deal. Right. Until then, we just don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. As someone who I think I'm pretty impartial on this because I am not a huge Welker guy, right? Whereas you guys have been much more pro-Welker than I have in the past. First of all, I think we've changed the question based on Amendola's current injury. Now it's never been a question of who'd be more productive this year. That wasn't the question. Now that's never been the question. I would say that that's a little bit of sort of revisionist history there because I think a lot of people thought that Amendola was younger, faster, quicker, and was going to be able to do things downfield that Welker couldn't do. But now that he's going to miss at least a small chunk of the season, now we're saying, oh, there's no question that Welker was going to be more productive. But now in 3 years?
Yeah, no, that's
so let me ask you this. If Welker, let's to use that argument, if Welker is more productive this year and next year, would you be okay with the move if Amendola is more productive than Welker in year 3?
No.
Because I don't think I would be happy with that if I were a Patriots fan. Would you?
Well, if they were kind of neck and neck and then all of a sudden Amendola started going ahead.
But it took 3 years before the fruit of that labor.
No.
I could have signed Welker for 2 years and then I could have found another solution somewhere else.
No, but like I said.
I didn't have to let Welker go.
If they're neck and neck and then Amendola.
But they're not neck and neck, according to the email. But the emailer said no.
Yeah.
The emailer says it was never a question that Welker was going to be more productive now.
Well, that's not right. I think that's one guy saying it. I think that's moving the goalposts. I think it was a question.
No, but my point that I think he brings up a really good point and a good sort of hypothetical. He is suggesting that eventually Amendola will be more productive than Welker. And I would say if that eventually isn't really soon, that's a bad move. If you have to wait till year 3 before that happens, that's a bad move. I think, because I think you sacrificed your team in the present.
Mm-hmm.
For something that might happen 3 years from now. I don't think Belichick would have done that if he had known that those were the variables going in.
Let's say Amendola comes back soon and lights it up, and at the end of the year, he and Welker have similar numbers.
Okay, so now you're changing it from what the emailer suggested.
No, I'm asking what you think about that.
Well, then if Amendola does similar to Welker, that's a good move.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to see where you're at.
Well, I don't understand how you could be any other way.
Robin in Alaska says, for a long time, ESPN has been calling Brady the Golden Boy.
I don't like it.
No.
I also didn't know it.
TB Glee.
Hadn't heard that.
Is a suggestion that I got in my email box. TB Glee.
That's not nice. How about?
Why is that not nice?
How about Mr. Bunshin?
I do like the Danny Amendola, Mr. Potato Head thing, because like I just thought of in Toy Story, which, have you seen my
groin? It's no longer attached.
I'm not liking the whole Amendola situation.
No, he's Danny on the Amendola.
No, I really like the guy.
Yeah,
I really like the guy.
You didn't like Welker?
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying the situation.
Like a lot of these guys.
The situation that he's in, I feel for him. And I don't like that. I don't like going. I don't like feeling the softer side. I like when I can sort of just, you know, be my snarky self.
Aren't all your sides soft?
You can continue to take shots at my physical appearance if you'd like.
Omar,
I feel bad for him. I can see this guy really working to get back, and I don't see a guy who's ready to be this close to be. You know, I anticipate being 100% soon. I don't look at when I look at him. He doesn't look like a guy who'll be 100% soon.
But what is there to feel for above and beyond? Because
I think
any
that
other...
he's really, really mentally. This is really bothering him.
Okay.
And I think that he is doing things that aren't really in his best interests. It's just an observation. I don't know. I don't have any. I just had a conversation with someone about this. I don't have any inside information on this. It's just something I'm looking at and I'm worried about.
No, it's clear it's in his head. It's clear he has some sort
of. And I kind
of
worry
whatever.
About that.
But that's the team's job. If he's not healthy, then
I
hold
know.
Him back.
It's the team's job to save him from himself. To
and
use Fred's
I mind. Also would say it's the team's job not just to do it because it's the right thing to do, but to do it because you've signed him to a 5-year contract.
It's not only
no
the
good.
Right thing for him, it's the right thing for you. You're absolutely right. You have a 5-year deal for a lot of money.
Right.
$31 million.
I don't understand why you would risk anything if indeed it's a risk for him to come back too soon. Because you have to look out for your 5-year deal. It's not just about right now. Part of the reason I think you brought him in was because it was about a 5-year deal and you kind of reset the clock at your slot receiver position. You have that guy for five years. So you need to make sure he doesn't do long term. But isn't everything we've heard that he won't? That it's torn? That's good? And
well, that's what I'm saying. It might not necessarily be doing any damage to the long term, but he's doing some damage to his... I mean, he's putting himself through a lot of pain.
Sure.
And I just... Listen, I...
But that's the way
it doesn't mean anything what I feel. It's not a touchy-feely league. I get it. I feel bad for him.
Is there a better example?
I really like him, and even though I don't know him very well. A couple of times I've talked to him, I really like him. And I see a guy who's really being affected by this perception that he's not tough.
Right, and that's
and I feel
there's a lot
him.
Of guys that feel
I'm
that
sure there
do
are.
That and,
I'm sure but, there are. And you're right. I'm admitting it's irrational on my part. I'm looking at this guy in a different way than I normally would look at the guys in that locker room. I feel for him.
But I think a lot of guys do it. That's my only. It's kind of my Tebow
absolutely...
argument. Tebow's this great good guy that is like good to people and charitable.
You're right.
I think there's a lot of those. And you know, Amendola's this great good guy who feels this pressure to come back. I think there's a lot of those.
It's like we used to make fun of Steve McNair. We still make fun of Ben, you know, because all these things they go through to play every week. When we know that Brady's going through same stuff.
And Troy Brown.
But we're not putting him through the whole, you know, he's not putting, you know, the nation at alert every week with all the things that he's going through.
I mean, is there a better example of it's not a touchy-feely league than the Nick Kazier thing? I'm sure you saw that today, Fred, where he got caught again and rolled
no,
on. So, oh.
I didn't see that.
Well, Nick Kazier, late last year, I believe, got caught with Oxy again, like he sort of did the first time.
Right.
And he basically agreed to turn on whoever was shipping it to him, wore a wire, taped some calls, and that person's arrested. But Nick Kazier clearly has a problem. And my guess is the problem started somewhere along the line as a football player dealing with pain, but then his football career ends, and he's still addicted or still
he's just
has
addicted.
Pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not touchy-feely. It's cutthroat. It's the way of the world. You read enough of these drug stories, and we know guys, everybody we see has a limp, has a this, has a that.
It's not
for faint of heart.
I know you're right.
They choose
this. I can't argue with you.
I'm not saying it's fair either. I'm not saying it's fair that Nick Kazier is a drug addict at age 28 and, you know, got churned out by the NFL machine, but he's not the only one, and it is kind of the life they lead.
Omar writes, in Ryan Clark stirred controversy in the offseason when he said that Brady sees ghosts when he's rushed. But a week later, when asked who was the best quarterback in the league, he laughed and said, ghost or no ghost, he goes for Tom Brady. So how about ghost for a nickname? It's pretty cool because the personage was so popular on Call of Duty that they decided to name the next Call of Duty game Ghost. I don't think so.
No. Plus, it's Gostkowski.
Fred, will you calm Paul down and tell him that Manning is a great regular season quarterback and Denver can go 16-0 this year but be one and done in the playoffs? As for the game Sunday night, if Gronk and the Mendola come back, I will pick the Pats. If not, my fantasy pick is the Falcons.
What do you think would happen if the Patriots and Broncos played in the playoffs? Brady against Manning.
Who's going to choke more?
3-2? 3-2 final?
You're a bad guy.
Also, why do we have a 250-pounder returning kicks? If Bill thinks it's a good move, next he'll have Jamarcus Russell lose more weight and hire him as a wide receiver for all we know. Give Josh Boyce the speedster a chance.
That's something Andy and I will call. I think you were with me. I was calling for that last game, for the Tampa Bay game, when we found out that Washington was inactive.
Or Bolden. I'd much rather see Bolden return the kick. I'd much rather see anybody other than LeGarrette Blunt, who had never, ever done it
until
here.
You know what the most ironic part about the Blunt decision is? He doesn't fit the mold in any way, but he's not even a ball security guy.
Right.
He's been the guy who's had some ball security issues in his career. So what is the one plus? What is the one plus?
He's big.
No, they traded Jeff Demps for him, so they got to put him at kick returner. I'll show them.
Always convinced
them. I'll show them.
Brian in Essex, Vermont, all the reports and interviews with orthopedists the last season after Gronk's first surgery and before his return and after his second injury said that no matter when he came back, he'd be at risk to break his forearm again due to the plate creating unnatural pressure points along the bone. They actually said the break was completely healed and that this was just a risk he'd be running, right? Is that right?
Well, there were reports that the break was at the end of the plate because that was now the weak part because the metal part can't break. And, yeah, there was talk of that. And I'm assuming he still has a plate in there, right?
I don't know.
They put a new plate in, so there could be a break point at the end of the plate again.
He says, can you please tell that idiot Eric that? He's still complaining about the Patriots bringing him back too soon and that being directly responsible for the second break. I actually had to stop listening to the playbook yesterday. Rook's great, but Eric's just a complete moron. If there's a vote or petition in place to have Chris from Patriots Hall and Eric switch jobs, I think he means
Brian,
where the hell do I sign up?
Eric's talk not about even
a,
here.
Talk about Iran, Iraq.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ivan's in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Ivan.
Hey, I got a perfect nickname for Tom.
What do you got?
Tominator.
The Tominator. I like it.
Okay.
Not bad. Best of the day so far.
I can't hear him.
The Tominator.
The Tominator?
Yeah.
Best of the day, by far. Best we've gotten today.
I like it. Even though you come from a smelly state.
Okay, that's all.
Okay. All right, bye.
Thanks, Ivan.
And staying in Florida, Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
What's going on?
How you doing?
I hear this guy.
I'm good. I'm getting ready for this Sunday. I'm actually, last week I called you guys. I was in Tampa on the way back to Miami. Now I'm in Atlanta getting ready for this Falcons-Patriots game. And I just wanted to see what you guys think about the whole Amendola thing. I know I kind of whiffed on that Zach Sudfeld thing. I was real hot and heavy on him.
So did Fred.
this preseason. But hey, what do you think we got going forward? I mean, we got a three-game set that, I mean, I think someone, Andy, I don't know if you reported that, or someone on Twitter said that, I mean, that's probably our test of our season is these next three games. I mean, what do you think we'd look like if we win these 3-0 games and we don't have Gronk and maybe Danny's not even there?
If they win them without those two guys?
Yeah.
I would do cartwheels down the street, backflips.
If they win them with those two guys, I'd do cartwheels and
backflips. If they win them without those guys, that would be amazing to me. Because I said this yesterday to somebody. Anyone in the NFL right now who had to go at Atlanta, at Cincy, and host the Saints,
I'd say
that's a tough stretch for you.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to say you're going to win all three of those, and that's Seattle, that's Denver, that's
totally agree with
whoever.
You.
So the Patriots, with their questions and their questionable competition so far, it's only natural we're saying that and then some about them.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be a good game. What I want to know is, why are we given 2 points? Like, I looked at that line on Monday, and I was like, I don't remember the last time our team has been given points, like, any game. Were we given points in that Super Bowl a couple years ago?
Wait, what?
No, we were underdogs in the first Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've been favored.
We're favored in every other one.
Okay, so yeah, I don't understand why, you know, the Falcons are 1-2. I mean, yeah, they play good at home, but, I mean, we're not exactly slouches.
Well,
on
I mean,
the road.
You look at it, it's fair to be given points as the Patriots. You know, the Falcons are at home. They have a lot of talent. The Patriots don't have their usual offense, and I buy that. I don't look at it as an insult.
I don't know, man. I was at that Dolphins-Patriots game. The Dolphins-Falcons game over the weekend, and they look kind of shaky. I mean, I don't think we've had any like significant turnovers like they did to, you know, swing that game in momentum. I mean, after they had that turnover on special teams, you could pretty much feel in the stadium it was a wrap.
I mean, you're forgetting the fumble in Buffalo that turned the game around.
They had three turnovers.
Yeah, but
that was
Ridley hit the ball off his knee in the playoffs. Like, he does stuff that, you know, I've never seen before. I mean, how do you fumble the ball off your leg? Yeah, granted, Bernard Pollard probably tried to take his head off, but throwing the ball on the ground.
We're talking about
the
Buffalo game, the first game of the season.
I
know.
They turned the ball over three times.
Yeah, but we rebounded that one. Aren't we still – we're number one in plus differential,
no,
aren't we this
they
year?
Did rebound.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Kansas City is.
Well, we're a plus.
Okay, that's right.
They're but we're not number one in
no,
it.
No,
Kansas City's
no.
plus nine.
Right. I know
we are like three.
Yeah, we're close. Yeah, we're not that far away from even.
We're getting there. I think our defense is going to step up. I mean, fantasy wise, I don't know how good Roddy White is going to be because he was. I don't know. I just think that we can pull out a win and really, really focus. I mean, it's loud. I mean, I was born in Atlanta, and I've been a Patriots fan and kind of a B Falcons fan for a while. So I've gone to a lot of Falcons games, and it gets really, really loud in there. And I heard they're doing the whole. The silence snap count or whatever in practice this week. So it'll be simulating that. I mean, I think we get out with a win, but I mean, hopefully we can get our guys back and, you know, pull this W out. I mean, because the whole world is watching. There's nothing really going on Sunday night. Everybody wants to see what Brady's going to do.
You know, getting 2 points on the road doesn't mean that people think you don't have a chance. I agree with you, Marcus. I think the Patriots definitely have a chance to win, but you know, I see no problem with minus two for the Falcons. You know, I think they should be favored a little bit. You know, and the fact is, you get 3 points for being at home. The fact is, it's only two means they are giving the Patriots a little respect.
Well, they take into consideration the 1-2 start for Atlanta.
Yeah. So, hey, Eric's here.
Hey.
Hey, Freddie.
How you doing?
All right.
Good. Locker room open today?
Just closed.
Yeah, what's going on in there?
Boring.
Really?
Marcus Cannon.
Is he going to start?
Boring. Yeah.
Did
exactly.
he talk?
He did.
Like to everybody?
Well, he spoke. The words came out of his mouth.
But everybody, though?
Yeah, to everybody.
Boring.
And
interesting.
Didn't, I mean, it was, wow, painful. And then we went to equally painful Nate Solder interview.
Wow. The nicest,
back to
painful
back,
ever.
Very nice, extremely nice. Like the kid a lot, painful. But can't interview him.
Never has
cannot
anyone
interview him.
Behaved or had a personality so opposite of his size.
Right.
I mean, he is the most meek, mild-mannered gentleman I've ever met in my life, and he's just a mountain.
Yeah.
6'8".
Yeah.
He's huge.
Very nice.
He's a Viking.
Really, really nice.
He's a Viking.
No, he's a Patriot.
Matt Castle's a Viking now.
McCourty and Tlaib also talked. That was the extent of it. And
Yeeming.
And we were waiting for that Aqib Tlaib moment, but it never came. No. So,
a lot
sorry,
of media
uneventful.
Members?
No. Not huge. Not like a Wednesday. I mean, a typical Thursday.
Well, the Revs are heating up, so there's a lot that kind of.
They're fighting for playoffs.
Cuts in
positioning.
In half.
Yeah, the Revs.
Yep.
They are.
They got a big game against Houston on Saturday.
The Dynamo.
Yep.
Rockets?
Houston's 1 point ahead them in the standings. So, it's a big game.
Mm-hmm. Freddie, did you follow the America's Cup at all?
Ridiculous.
You should like the Houston Dynamo.
Ridiculous.
They wear orange.
Is that
I do.
Golf?
No, it's sailing.
Andy, you follow the America's Cup at all?
A little bit. And it's
that's
weird.
Amazing.
I actually have a rant. It's not sailing anymore. It's flying.
It is.
The bleeping
it's
boats come out of the water.
I know.
Like, there should be a rule. You have to have a certain amount of surface area actually touching the water. It's flying now. It's like parasailing or something. It's not actually sailing.
Well, the guy who's...
It's like those air chairs. It just lifts up out of the water.
The guy from...
Plus, didn't somebody die? Didn't they have a death in one of the races?
Oh, I think you're right.
It's too fast. They need restrictor plates in NASCAR. They need restrictor plates.
Well, it's not sailboats anymore, really.
Well, they're all catamarans that barely touch the water.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
They actually lift out of the water. They have things underneath that raise up.
They hardly touch.
The boat barely touches the water. The whole bleeping thing is just like flying.
When I brought this up, I had no idea it was going to elicit a rant.
Yeah, and watch. See? The whole thing's out of the bleeping water. Just these little, toothpicks sticking in.
What I thought was unbelievable, ridiculous. Fred, it's the best of 17 format.
Yeah, best of 17.
And New Zealand had an 8-1 lead.
8-1 lead.
Wow.
And they just had to win one more.
The U.S. rallied and won 9-8.
That's a choke.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's a choke.
That's the only reason why I brought it up.
They actually said on SportsCenter today that they have already discussed movie scripts for this because it's so insane. But I think you're right. It's not sailing anymore.
Continuing with Andy's rant, though, they also had several races had to be canceled because the wind wasn't right.
Yeah. Sailing. Deal with the wind.
Yeah.
If the wind is over a certain amount or whatever.
Because they're riding such a fine line between blowing up and blowing away.
And it needs to be it's all televised now on, I don't even know what network had it, but, there's all the different.
I kind of do like that.
It had to be in a 2-hour window so they could do it in if the wind wasn't right in that TV window.
That's stupid. Isn't that like the best? You have to get the best of the wind. If it's big, if it's a lot of wind, you need to control it. If it's a little wind, you need to maximize it. But they're riding such a fine line of technology. Stupid.
I got on one of those things in France.
I don't care what sport you're playing. You rally from an 8-1 deficit to win the next.
That race is crazy.
To win 9-8.
When the guy that won a bunch of them, what's his name?
Dennis Conner.
Yes. Dennis Conner. Didn't they have real sailboats
back
then?
Oh yeah.
When did this change?
In the last decade or so.
Yeah, last 10 years or so. It has really taken off. All these Oracle guy got into it. It's all science now. It's all cutting edge. Yeah.
I think what happened.
I know a guy who actually designs the boats.
I think if there's not a place on the boat where you can go down below and take a pee, then it's not a real sailboat.
If you call it taking a pee.
Well, but his argument, the guy from Oracle, I forget his name.
Take a pee.
What's the guy's name? The CEO of Oracle.
Oh, Larry Ellison.
Larry Ellison, right. Yeah. This is his baby.
He
was saying that, this is part of the natural evolution of the sport, that, we don't play with leather helmets in football anymore. There were advancements.
They don't fly around on rocket ships and hit each other either.
No, but that's his argument is that the sport is changing.
Bernard Pollard.
As long as just wind is the only thing that propels you, then okay.
So balloons can race in America's Cup?
What do you mean balloons?
The power of the wind propels you?
Balloons are the only thing that only propels them is wind.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's not a fair rule.
No, it is.
You should have to have a certain amount of boat in the water. It's ridiculous.
And also, I think...
Well, they don't fly.
No. Have you
watched
them,
They basically do fly.
Well, they go off the water, but then they come back down.
Well, yeah,
airplanes go up and come back down. This is the worst stretch of arguments you've ever made.
When you water ski, you go out in the air, but you come back down. You're still water skiing. You're not,
you lose
contact with the water sometimes, but you come back down.
They're not sailboats. This isn't sailing. It's like parasailing or something.
Well, yeah, when you windsurf, you can go in the air.
But there's a difference between windsurfing and the parasurfing where they actually leave for like a minute and then come back down because it's a parachute.
You're being pulled by an airplane.
No, you're being pulled by a parachute.
Whatever.
The wind pulls a parachute. So it's all wind, so that's fair. That guy could win the America's Cup because the wind is the only thing propelling him.
It does. I mean, there is something.
Honest to God, didn't think this was. I just thought it was kind of strange that they went 8 in a row.
It would be like a race car if NASCAR lifted up and you were zipping along in a jet, but you had this one little thing that was touching the ground. So it's still a car.
we have to hurry because it's time to do picks. Paul, what happened last week?
Woo! Andy wins.
Not a very good week, Fred.
No,
I'm perfect for the modern day NFL.
We all tied at 9-7.
Get out.
Which is not very good.
No.
With the spread, Andy is correct. He and Eric tied at 10-5-1.
That's very good.
Yep.
And I went 7-8-1 for the third week in a row against the spread. I went 7-8-1.
Oh, really?
You're consistent.
Because you keep the book.
Yes. And Fred
just keeps copying the same thing, doesn't even tabulate.
6-9-1.
Are you sure about that?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
What happened to the guy that was keeping track of...
Evidently screwed it up the first week and decided to stop doing it.
You did berate him.
he called us out and was wrong.
Well, I don't know that it was wrong.
Well, I'm telling you,
you have
wrong.
One book. He
are
has
you,
another.
Are you telling me that you can't take my word for it?
I don't know if I can take.
Is
you're
that,
from
is
Everett.
That right?
You're from Everett.
Is that right?
You're from Everett.
Okay.
From
now,
Everett.
As long as I know where I stand with you, okay. Overall, I remain in the lead. Not surprisingly,
you keep the book.
32-16. Eric is 31-17. Andy is 31-17. Fred, 30-18.
But,
with the spread, Eric has overtaken Fred. 24-21-3. Fred, 23-22-3. Andy, 22-23-3. And I am in last place with the spread.
7-8-1.
Now figure it out.
21-24-3.
Give the man a prize.
Right. I can multiply by three.
Yes.
All right.
And that's where we stand.
So let's get going. Tonight. In St. Louis,
tonight.
The 49ers coming off a bad loss.
This is going to be a bad
against
football
the
game.
Rams.
Thursday night.
Against their kryptonite.
Yep.
3 doors down.
Oh, I'm sorry. San Francisco by three. I thought he was still going.
Just staring at me.
He just said against the Rams. I thought he had more to say.
San Francisco by three in St. Louis.
A little foreshadowing. A lot of home dogs this week.
This is one of them.
What's up, home dog?
The Rams, obviously, they beat and tied the 49ers last year. So
Tommy.
I think that defensive line is good matchup for Colin Kaepernick.
I think it is good matchup.
I talk like Fred. This game win must.
Thanks, Yoda.
The 49ers are too good a football team, in my opinion, for me to just continue to see them struggle.
What about the Sam Chise?
I like the Sam Chise.
What about the Quinning?
Sam Chise not as good as I thought he was going to be, let's be honest. Even though I like to blame it on the four offensive coordinators in 4 years and all that crap, Quinning is developing into one of the best young defensive players in football.
All right, Fred.
Jim Harbaugh facing the
Make
first,
a Make a
sort
first
of
game. He's going into
hurdles of his NFL career. It's been all easy for the first two seasons. They react well this week. I think Kaepernick has a big game.
I agree. I'll take San Fran to rebound on the road against a St. Louis team that I don't think is as good as I originally thought.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco. I'm not as confident as they are.
Though. Yeah, I'm with you, Paul.
I think San Francisco's got some
issues,
fat and happy issues.
Yeah.
I think they sort of, you know, Kaepernick with all these commercials and
yep.
Alden Smith.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch. A guy does a commercial and it means like,
well,
he didn't
do a commercial. I mean, is there one that he's not in?
Yeah, it's really ruined Manning.
Yeah.
Well, he became great first.
You get to the level of Manning, then you can do all the commercials.
You just sound a little bit like a Patriot homer.
Well, yeah, Brady picks and chooses.
I'm with you,
I think a lot of San Francisco.
Quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
I think a lot of San Francisco as a team, I'm not going to lie. Watching the Colts push them around last week was eye-opening. Now, maybe it was just one bad game. But watching the way the Colts won that game, there was nothing fluky about
coming
the way.
Coming off a tough rivalry game in Seattle.
And I don't think much of Indianapolis. The way Indianapolis pushed them around, to me, was something that Jim Harbaugh probably spent
I'm with you, Paul.
I think
there's issues with San Francisco.
But I am taking San Francisco
to win. Volatile head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Quarterback with tattoos.
Yeah, but I'm gonna stick with San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with San Francisco. But if they lose this game, trouble.
Do you think Harbaugh's a volatile head coach with his team?
I think he's volatile with life.
Yeah,
I think he's volatile like outward with. Other,
I think
I'm not sure he's a volatile coach.
I think if Colin Kaepernick gets in his face, he'll get back in his face.
I think any coach would get.
What
back
was the spread you had on
face.
That, Paul?
Three. Why? What's the matter?
I was just curious as to what you were taking.
All right, quickly.
I was using the Herald.
Sunday at 1, Baltimore at Buffalo.
Baltimore is favored by 3.5.
I'll take Baltimore to win in cover.
Balcomore? No. That's actually not a bad one. No. Let's face it, there's plenty of Ravens.
Yeah. Right. Lewis is gone.
Terrell Suggs is still there.
By how many at Buffalo?
Three and a half.
I will take them to win and cover. They're a better team, even on the road, against a struggling Bills team.
I am going to take Baltimore as well, with the one caveat that this is exactly the kind of game that they always seem to lose in the first half of the season. One of these. They lost it last year to Tennessee.
They are the great defending Super Bowl champions. This is your league of greatness.
They lost to Tennessee last year in a similar kind of a game as this.
Great.
But I think Baltimore wins.
Yeah, I think E.J. Manuel didn't look too good last week. That was a terrible game, but I got to go with Baltimore here. Sunday at 1, Cincinnati at Cleveland.
Cincinnati by 4.5.
Cincinnati.
Continuing our road dog.
Yeah, I saw
home
that.
Dog.
Home dog.
Cincinnati dog. To win and cover the little bump from Brian Hoyer. Runs out of gas.
For this week, anyway, yeah, I agree.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is Cincinnati's division.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati will win this game. This is a prove it to me game, though. This is a game that you're supposed to win on the road in your division, Fred. You always say you never know. It's a big game for the Bengals.
But yeah, I agree. Hoyer had his coming out party last week. A little more down to earth.
He did throw three picks last week.
Well, he did.
Sort of forgot about those.
I'm picking Cincinnati, but I'm going to take the points.
Oh,
I think it's a close game.
Field goal.
Yeah. Chicago at Detroit.
Chicago at Detroit. Detroit by 3.
It's a tough game.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with, I don't like either team. I'm going to go with the home team. Paul Perillo
said. Should I put you down to Epstein?
When in doubt. Yeah. Why don't you give me a Barack Obama-like vote on this?
He's
I'm going to abstain. I'm not going to vote.
Andy Hart present.
Give me Detroit. I'll just go with the home team.
I'm getting sucked in by the Bears. I will pick them to win on the road. They look like they're starting to maybe
you know
take control of this.
A drunken Cutler four-pick affair.
I know, but I'm going to – the Lions have screwed me too much over the years. I'll go with the Bears.
I'm going to take the Lions, but I agree with what Eric just said. The Lions seem to screw you every time you think they're going to win a game.
Yep. You're not even a Lions fan.
No. Well, my buddy Danny V is, and he believe me, he bores me with chapter and verse of all the disappointments.
I'll go with the Lions as well. Sunday at 1, Seattle at Houston.
Oh, this is a good game.
Seattle at Houston.
This tests your theory, Andy, about
sort of.
Seattle by 3.
Well. Oh, they have to play a great team.
No, I'm just saying, Houston not playing all that well.
Okay.
So it may not take a game that you play all that well to win it. But I am going to take Houston because I am going to test my theory. Seattle, this is their little bump in the road on the road.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the home team in this one for just that reason. They're the home team. And Seattle has gone on the road a couple of times, won some good games. They're playing well. I still think they eventually will be the better team, but this is a tough spot for them early on.
Yeah, dangerous.
I agree. Seattle was definitely a better team. But I'm going to take an upset. I'm going to take the home Texans. I think at some point they have to play well. They have not played well in any of the three games.
Mm-mm. I'm surprised.
I'm going to take Seattle. Indianapolis at Jacksonville, Sunday at 1.
Indianapolis by 8. Mm.
My heart will be with the Jaguars and Jordan Todman, but my brain tells me to take the Colts to win and cover. The Jags blow.
They do. I will take the Colts to win and cover as well.
Did you see what my guy Todman did when he scored, Paul?
I did
not.
Oh,
he scored?
He scored a touchdown in Seattle. I believe they were down like 28-0 or something.
What did he do?
he shushed the crowd.
Oh, no. He... God, oh my.
It made Deadspin.
Oh, my God.
Dartmouth's own. Woo!
I will take the Colts as well, Freddie.
Yep, Colts all the way
Maybe
around.
He was joking.
Sunday at 1, Big Blue goes to Kansas City.
Little Blue.
Just Blue.
Yeah.
Kansas City by 4.5.
This is my matchup from my around the NFL. The +9 Kansas City Chiefs don't turn the ball over. They're 3-0. The -9. New York Giants turn the ball over and they lose.
So that would be the number 1 against the number 32 team in the Wilson Hart Power Index then?
We don't know that.
Well, I'm just guessing. Yet. I'm guessing.
No, there are a lot of factors that go into the Wilson Hart Power Index, not just turnovers. You
don't forget this one, Freddie. Don't forget this one.
Right. Sharpen your darts.
He's not amused.
He can't handle it. It's just hilarious.
I am also not impressed with Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Giants are due for a game where stuff goes their way, where they don't turn the ball over every play, where they don't get sacked every play. I'm saying they do it this week.
I kind of agree. I was really stunned, even with the turnovers, with the drubbing they took, the shutout in Carolina.
Either that or fire Coughlin.
Again?
I'm going to hold my nose and pick the Giants, even though I kind of think I should be picking the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, you know, how many times are you going to go to that well? But I'm going to do it, too. I just think the Giants are better than Kansas City. Kansas City is a tough place to win, though. So I wouldn't be stunned if the Chiefs.
And here
continue.
I was thinking I'd be the only one that picked the Giants. I'm picking the Giants.
Can't spell elite without Eli.
By the way, have you had the wings from McDonald's, the new real wings?
Will tried them over
the weekend.
They're
very good.
Will didn't like them. They were really hot, huh?
Yeah, they're hot.
Yeah, but they don't have
spicy
like the buffalo sauce. It's like they're like hot wings.
You can get buffalo sauce with it, but
yeah, Will didn't like them.
They're real Fred wings with bones, and they're. I like them. I thought they were really good.
How much is the 10 spot for you?
What?
How much does it cost for the 10?
I don't know.
Only 1,400 calories.
Well, he said he couldn't finish the 10.
Really?
No, I only had 5.
Then how good could they have been?
Because I also had a cheeseburger.
And an apple pie and a shake.
I'd like to say that we had all these things scripted, but...
And a supersized fries. And onion rings.
I also had a cheeseburger.
Pittsburgh at Minnesota, 1 o'clock.
In London.
Pittsburgh by 1.5 in at Wembley.
GMT.
It's not in Minnesota.
It's across the pond.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looks like
Eric, very jealous.
Tom Brady report may have been accurate. Matt Cassel taking all the first team reps because Christian Ponder's ribs are still sore. I am gonna go. You know, the Steelers are down there in
the Wilson Hart Power Index. They've turned it all. They're minus 9.
They're probably 31.
This is a bad game. Why are we sending such a bad product across the pond?
Two winless teams across the pond.
Somebody's got to win.
No, not necessarily. There are ties in the NFL.
Imagine if they both came out of it 0-3-1.
0-0 tie. Be like a soccer match.
On the pitch.
Yeah, they would actually think that was great.
They would love it. They'd most exciting football game ever. I can't even. Who's the home team?
The Vikings,
I can't even say
I think.
Two bad teams.
Well, that's why I wanted to make sure you knew that it was in London.
I'm taking Cassel. I like him.
It pains me to do this, but I'm going with the worthless hot dog. I think they're still a better team than the Vikings.
This is very much like the Giants game.
Yeah. Exactly, and I'm going to do the same thing. Yeah. I'll be losing at least 2 games this week. Right. This will be one of them. Yeah. I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm not sold Pittsburgh's good.
Me too. I'm taking
Pittsburgh. No, I'm saying at
their
some
line
point.
Blows, they have no running game.
I don't think that, listen, I thought they were going to be a playoff team. They're not.
They've overrated
receivers. I was clearly wrong about that.
Yeah.
But they're not as bad as they've played. Like, you just talked about all the turnovers. Did you see a couple of the turnovers last week? Where, I mean, he just gets hit, the ball pops up out of his hand right to Julius Peppers, he's gone. I mean, it's unreal.
All right, I'm taking Pittsburgh as well. Arizona at Tampa Bay, Sunday at 1.
Talk about bad games.
Yeah, jeez.
2.5, Arizona.
What a douchebag Carson Palmer is.
Whoa.
To come out this week on a conference call with Tampa and say, "Yeah, the Bucks were calling my agent all off season long. They wanted to get me." What a douchebag
move! Didn't sit well with me either.
You don't need to do that. Josh Freeman already lost his job. He's already had a tumultuous. That's all he needs is now. That just adds to the story. Well, they were really trying to replace him all off season.
Yeah, and even if you know what was the context of it? Did someone ask him if he'd been contacted? Now, you were a free agent at Tampa Bay. There's a diplomatic way to answer that without doing. I do totally agree with what Andy just said.
That said, I'm going to take the douchebag to win because I just saw Mike Glennon.
Glennon.
I just saw him. I thought it was a ball boy doing a mic test on the podium. This goofy looking, like, no.
And I said, bye, Glennon.
I will take
another interception. Bye, Glennon.
I think the Cardinals have shown a little bit of fight this year. Not that Tampa hasn't. I mean, they could have easily won some of their two of their games already. But I'll take the Cards to come across country and come up with a win.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals, too. If they were still playing Freeman, I would be all over the Cardinals. But I'm a little concerned that, you know, you make the change and there's some people in that locker room that were like, finally, you know, you got the problem out of there. So
they didn't get rid of the coach.
I'm a little concerned about that, but I agree with Eric. I think the Cardinals have been pretty competitive. And
yeah, a lot of road picks this week. I'll take the Cardinals as well. All right, now we move to Sunday at 4:05. The Jets at Tennessee.
Tennessee by 3.5.
What? I missed it.
Tennessee
Jets at Tennessee.
I got distracted. Just a real quick aside.
Boop.
Did you see Bones Jones is going to defend his title again on Super Bowl weekend, February 1st, in New Jersey?
Oh.
So how cool would it be if we went to the Super Bowl?
There you go.
Or even Arthur, but one of the two brothers was in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that'd be great.
Kind of a championship weekend for the whole
family.
Now Jets at Tennessee. Tennessee by 3?
Yeah. And a half.
And a hey.
What a bad league we I mean, every game sucks.
All right, just keep going. We got to get going.
I'll take Tennessee, but I don't feel good about it because the teams blow.
I will too. The most anonymous team in the league is Paul.
Yeah.
Called the Titans.
What's the best game this weekend? Are there good games anywhere?
You took Tennessee.
We got a pretty good one.
Eric took Tennessee.
Pretty good one.
Unless Atlanta says Fraud City 45-3.
Who's Fraud City?
Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee as well. I'm not sold on the Titans.
And our
yet,
good
though.
Game
but
is
the Jets.
Two.
I mean, 20 penalties. I think Tennessee will be able to beat the Jets if the Jets commit 20 penalties, unlike the Bills.
Right.
So
I'm looking for
Tennessee
to give them a beat down this weekend. All right, 425, Philadelphia at Denver. Philadelphia.
Denver
at
by
Denver.
10.5.
These two teams could run
like
600 plays.
I've taken every team to win and cover so far.
Two teams
that
like to tempo it big time.
Take
this
the over.
A fun game to watch. I'm going to take Denver. And what was the
10.5.
Hey.
10.5.
I'll take Denver to win and cover. They will do it as they have done. They will pull away. The Eagles will run out of gas. They might make some plays, but they'll pull away and they'll cover.
I'm going to take the Broncos to win because they're at home. I like a lot of high-scoring points in this game, but that's a high number even in Denver. I will take the points, Paul.
Yeah, I will take Denver. I think Philadelphia's defense is among the worst in the way that Denver's offense is played.
And do you run that fast offense in Denver with the mile-high altitude?
Yeah.
That's a good point,
that's
Paul.
That's a good point.
Fred, whatever your name is.
You know. So I'm going to go Denver both ways. Washington at Oakland, Sunday 425.
Washington. Another good game.
It's the Washington.
Washington by three.
Home dog.
A winless road favorite.
Who's playing quarterback for the
Terrell Pryor, right?
I don't know.
I thought he was concussed.
He was concussed. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
that's
know.
Right.
He
that's
tweeted
right.
out, huh, don't remember most of the game, but I heard we tried or something.
Oh, boy.
That's not what you're looking
that's
for.
That's not what no. they're looking
Roger
for.
Roger Goodell on line two. cheese it on
who's
the
backup?
Making light of the
that's
concussion.
That's what I just said.
Matt Flynn.
Oh, Flinning.
Yeah, I'll take the RG3s. Good nickname, by the way, Paul, in a league where they don't have any.
Really imaginative. We're going to use his initials.
Proceed.
Work for Y.A. Tittle.
It's right up there with the Galloping Ghost.
This is an ugly good game, but I'll take...
That's not a good nickname,
I'll
too.
Take the road favorite.
RG3, it's his initials.
Galloping Ghost.
Oh, no, that's a great... The Galloping Ghost is... That's stuff. That's what we don't
stuff.
Do.
That's stuff.
That's what we don't do. That has substance. We don't do that. We're lazy.
Stuff.
I'll take...
John Rook probably came up with that, right?
Yes.
Road favorite, Paul.
Talking to you, Mike.
Road favorite.
Hey, junior broadcaster.
I am going to go with the road favorite as well. I think the Redskins at some point find a way to win. I don't think this is going to be a very good season for the
Me too,
Redskins,
Washington. Sunday, 425, Dallas at San Diego.
Dallas by two.
I'll take Dallas to win and cover.
Why do I think the Cowboys just played them?
Kevin.
They just beat up St. Louis.
They did. They beat
Eric's
up,
calling
they beat
for
up
his
St.
sound
Louis.
Effects. What do we call that? No, what did Mark teach us?
He calls them sounders.
Sounders.
This is a game that the Cowboys probably will lose because that's what the Cowboys do. Like you remember we were saying about who was the other team before that? This is the game that they usually
Baltimore.
Baltimore, right? And this is a game that the Cowboys
comparing Baltimore to Dallas is a real slap in the face to the Ravens.
This, no, I know, but the Cowboys are almost like the Lions. They screw you every year with
Jesus.
Games like this.
You're confusing me. It's the Ravens. It's the Lions. It's the Cowboys.
Also, we can get to a San Diego.
Who are you picking?
I'm gonna take the road team in this game. Woo! No, the road team. I gave you a thumbs down, Kevin.
How mad he
all right, I'm going to go with the upset here because this is a game that Dallas loses, and I'm going to take.
Woo! I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Got to pay attention to my cues, Kevin.
Down means no, up right? means yes.
All right, we'll skip over the Sunday night game. Go to Monday at 8:40, Miami at New Orleans.
Paul, skip over that.
Well, we
Sunday
had plenty of
game.
Time this week because of the bye. So we're almost done. There's one bye. New Orleans by 6.5 against the front-running, high-flying Miami Dolphins.
Very interesting NFC South, AFC East measuring stick games here this week for the Dolphins and the Patriots. And I'm going to say the Dolphins fall on it and lose to the Saints. I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints to win and cover because I know it's your time, Miami, and I know you're tweeting that. Fred, I was almost a homer. Did I tell you that? The Dolphins were tweeting out, like, it's our time, #3, and I'm like,
oh boy.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Wow.
Jeez.
But it's not your time. You're better. You're competitive. Right. But you're going to lose on the road to the Saints.
Right. You should have lost to the Falcons, but they were all beat up. The Saints are going to come in. The NFC South team is going to come in and win this one this week. Win and cover for the Saints, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think Miami's ready to win a road game like this on Monday night. And
tough dome.
I agree with Andy that they've been way too happy with themselves just for starting 3-0.
Right.
They haven't really accomplished anything. I'll take the Saints, and I will lay the points.
I'll take the Saints, but I'm not quite as confident as you guys because I don't think the Saints are that great this year.
I don't think the Saints are that good either, but Andy doesn't even think they're going to win 11 games.
All right.
No, you said 12. They can win 11, and I'm right.
You said 11 or
12. I said 12 or 13.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. You're right.
All right. Sunday night, New England at Atlanta, 8:30, NBC, Sunday Night Football, Football in America.
Another dome
Falcons
game.
Falcons by two.
AFC's team on the road that's 3-0.
Much to
stick.
Marcus's chagrin. It was Marcus, right?
I'm going to be honest. I'm just excited to hear Fred's pick, but I'll quickly get through mine. I think the Patriots go on the road and lose. I am not as afraid of the Falcons as I thought coming into the season because they haven't.
Because they're injured.
And they haven't put the points on the board.
Yeah.
You know, even in New Orleans, they put up 17. You should have put up 25-35. So they're down a little bit. That gives the Patriots a chance. But I still say they take advantage of the plays that these other teams didn't. There'd be guys open. They're going to catch the ball. Julio Jones, tough matchup. And I am going to say the Falcons win 31-21.
I also like the Falcons to win this game at home, especially coming off a loss to Miami on the road. It's a small point spread here, so the Falcons will cover, but it will be close. It'll be 30-24, a little bit of a high-scoring back-and-forth affair here.
Negativino.
You just picked the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with the boys here. I think too much offense.
Don't change. What are you making faces over there for?
Are
you going to change your pick?
Similar game is Andy.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to say 31-23. I think the Patriots have a chance to win this game. I don't dismiss their chances. 2 weeks ago, if you asked me, I would have said I don't think the Patriots have a shot. But based on the way Atlanta has played, I think the Patriots have a shot. I think they can control the ball if they run it and maybe shorten the game a little bit, keep Matty Ice on the sideline, and they could win. But I think the Patriots are going to have a tough time in that dome with a bunch of young guys that have never been in this kind of an atmosphere, and they're going to struggle.
Well, I told myself as early as Tuesday that I'm going to pick Atlanta to win this game. But I also said if everybody else picks Atlanta, I can't have everyone in this show picking
You're
the Falcons.
Copping out.
So I have to pick the Patriots.
I know it hurts him so much to change what I already wrote down in my book.
I was going to, but I said to myself, if all three of these guys pick Atlanta, I can't have everybody on the show picking the
Why
Falcons.
Not? So you actually think, you think Atlanta's going to win?
I do.
Mark
Unbelievable.
Tape.
Unbelievable.
I just want it on the record. Not only is he mentally prepared to lose this game.
I am mentally prepared to lose this game.
You expect the Atlanta Falcons to win, but you're picking the
Patriots. Can you just do me a favor?
What?
If the Patriots win, don't. Like, gloat
say,
and say
I
that you're the
you
only one that
yeah,
had
don't
it.
Say right. I told you so.
No, no, I won't.
Yeah, right.
But I'll you're be so thrilled.
Of course we all will. Like that emailer said, if they find a way to win these three games.
Sure.
And then he said, you know, without Gronk and Amendola. I'm like, if you win them with Gronk and Amendola, you should be doing backflips.
Yeah.
I think Gronk plays and Amendola
gives
doesn't.
You a chance. That gives you a chance to win this game. My biggest concern, actually, is the secondary and this Arrington injury. As Paul said, he was kind of out late last week. If Logan Ryan has to play with those receivers, man, that concerns me.
I agree.
Except you're picking the Patriots.
Well, I just can't have everyone on the show picking against the
Patriots. Well, I believe everybody but Bilo in the paper picked the Falcons.
Well, again.
So we have our two homers that save us from getting in trouble. Vince will yell at us.
We'll still get in trouble. What's the difference?
You're with
us,
guys.
If we picked the Patriots, we would have said it was going to be a close game, and we gave the other team too much credit.
John, what should Tom Brady's nickname be? Or does he already have one?
He does.
I call
him
TB12. I just call him TB12.
Yeah, but that's not a nickname. It's a brand that he made up.
That's what he calls him.
Wait a minute. RG3 is a nickname, you said. It's the same thing. Two initials and a number.
But TB12, he made up as a marketing brand. That's not a nickname that somebody bestowed upon him.
But that's what I've always
called him. Well, wait a minute. How do you know that?
Well, he did.
No, but how do you know people weren't already calling him TB12
when
he decided,
oh. TB12, no.
I never even knew that.
Don't get defensive
because
you're ES and you have the same stupid initials.
That came way
before.
That came before Brady.
I know, but it's
so stupid. He got it from watching you.
Well, that was a hot topic. A lot of people
trying to come up with a nickname today.
Nicknames for Tom Brady, yeah. And I think
the Tominator.
The Tominator
was
is
the best one.
I like GQ. But
what about Tom Terrific?
That is his real one.
That's the one that he's known as. I still I think of Tom Seaver when I think of that.
Well, that's because you and I are of a different age in the room.
Because the older guys.
I actually remember going to school in 69 and listening to Tom Seaver pitch for the Mets in the World Series.
I remember when my mother changed my diaper in 69.
Right back there. Before he's Paul.
All right.
That's how you ended up at Texas.
Transistor radio.
Listening to radio shows in school.
John Rook and the Playbook's coming up right after this at 2 o'clock. And then at 4, it's Football Nation. As for us, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Fred thinks the Falcons are going to win.
Hammers and bows, back to the mackin' and the clothes. Adolescent packing a knock on the door.
Who is it?
I would happen to know the one with the flow.
Who did it?
It was me, I suppose. JD in the rolls and looters in the cut supreme. Skating down old Nat, tucked and lean. Just spleen, as a matter of fact, I the team. No blood on the sneaks, gotta keep it so my kicks is clean. I get the cream, cops see me flick my beans. I'm allergic to doc prescribed antihistamines. Oink, oink, pig, pig.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.